It doesn't taste like fish.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Saturday, November 24, 2024. This is your award-winning Gimbal Nation Media Assassination, episode 1715.
This is No Agenda.
Ignoring net pops. And broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country right here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all hoping Elon Musk buys MSNBC. I'm John C. Dvorak.
This is my favorite. I have people trying to rationalize that to me. You don't know what you're talking about, Curry.
What do you not know what you're talking about?
Because Elon Musk buying MSNBC.
What about it?
They're like, look,
he's the one who hinted at it.
We discussed it on the show and went, like, this is bull crap. This is not going to happen.
That's what they said about Twitter.
No, I don't think they said
that. In fact, he didn't want to do the Twitter deal. The courts made him.
Well, that was a little different. But if anything, I think he's not going to do anything. And another one is, Trump's going to merge Truth Social with Twitter. I don't think so.
That's a good one.
I don't think so. Now, I suspect that Truth Social may connect to some crypto company. That would make sense for payments online, because that's where all of this is headed. It's all headed towards do your payments on do it you all at one all one app. Do everything here. Don't need anything else. I guess. Yeah, I know. But seriously, you don't think that there's any chance that Elon Musk will buy MSNBC?
Well, he did post something yesterday. Uh-huh. Have you seen the post? It's got a girl bent over for anal sex.
Oh, I saw Rachel Maddow crying about this image. Yeah. Continue to explain.
And then where her butt is, there's a big MSNBC logo.
Oh, my God.
And Elon posted this, by the way.
Of course he did.
And then he has some sort of a saint-like character in the front saying, Lord, keep me from, don't let me sin kind sinning. Of a comment. Mm-hmm. Deliver me from evil, it said.
Wow.
And it's this saint guy standing there with the thought bubble.
Yeah, I recommend Elon go very careful with these things.
Well,
unleashing powers, he has no idea how they work.
He's asking for help.
Now, there's a good point. He is crying for help. I think
It's a cry for help.
I think that's a good point. That's a good point.
So maybe he doesn't, he knows he's tempted because he's got the money. He's got it's $333 billion just to use the magic number in net worth. And he could do it, but he knows it's a bad idea.
Why would you do that? I mean, why? Why?
So he could fire everybody. He's gone off the deep end.
Hmm. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, well. You know what? And I said, yeah, no. I just said, hello. I don't know what I said. But I think it would make our life interesting.
Oh, it'd be terrific.
So I'm all in on that.
Encouraging this stuff.
I have no problem with that. You know, I've identified something that's happening. And this is a little unexpected, but Trump derangement syndrome is highly contagious.
How does that work?
Well, it's spreading to both sides of the political spectrum.
It's always been on both sides.
But it's pro-Trump people who now have Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, what are they? Well, that's different.
Yes. Well, let me, and this kind of was.
Is it Trump derangement syndrome in a good way?
No. So this was triggered by an email one of our producers sent to me. And he says, one more payment and Christmas, I'm going to be knight. But it was kind of sad. He says, so his wife and he have had some issues. And so he emails me and says, the wife decided to announce at our first couples therapy Zoom meeting By the way,
here we go. Okay.
If you're in couples therapy on Zoom, yes, there's issues. Man. The wife, he says, decided. And I'm not laughing at this because it's really, really
sounds like you are
heartbreaking. No. The wife decided to announce at our first couples therapy Zoom meeting after Trump got reelected. Oh, he says, I'm remote because he's a truck driver. That she still...
Oh, he probably listens to this show.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, the truck drivers. Yeah. That's our biggest audience.
The backbone of the show and of the country.
And of the country, yes.
Coincidental. He says, she still wants to work on the relationship and will always love me, but she's definitely filing for divorce because Trump and Vance are going to do away with no contest divorce and also plan to take away women's rights to birth control, and she doesn't want any legal connection to any man.
What? Yeah. Where is she getting this?
From Elon's future television company, I guess. Well, yeah, but this, so this is the derangement syndrome. This is not the derangement syndrome I'm talking about, but this is TDS. I don't know if she's liberal
or not. That's classic.
It's very classic, but...
CTDS, classic TDS.
It's TDS classic.
that's actually a better way of putting it.
TDS
classic.
TDS classic. Yeah. And when I hear that, I'm like, wow, she's so mind-controlled that she really believes this, which is just sad. And...
it's not sad, it's pathetic.
But now on the other side, the new contagion is every single appointee that Trump makes, everything is filled with, oh, he's a rhino, that person's compromised, Israel, Zionists, Jews, no good. It's rampant. It's TDS new. It's new TDS versus TDS.
Well, I
classic.
Have to say that I've been susceptible to this.
You need to be vaccinated. We need to protect you.
With this Besant guy.
Yes. Yes.
The Secretary of the Treasury. So he's the guy, I think I have a clip of Jesse Waters discussing him, I think.
Well, I want you to play the clip. But this is... sad because television and social media networks are taking incredible advantage of this. And so this is reinvigorating. So, you know, we couldn't, the libs are all gone. The Dems are all gone. They're all gone to blue sky. And now what are we going to yell about? Well, we have to yell at Trump's doing it again. He has no idea. He's getting all the deep state back in. Palantir's going to facial recognize us all. It's all going to be the end of humanity.
Well, this may be, we've been looking for the...
For an angle?
What's going,
for an angle? Yeah,
what's going to be the thing there? Because last time it was Russian collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something, you know, and we couldn't figure it out. And maybe this is what it is. It's some sort of enemy within approach.
Well, yeah. And it is all over the place. It hasn't really... I don't watch a lot of Fox. I find it quite boring and tedious.
I think it's very well structured shows.
I'm sure you do, but I don't know if they're doing that there. But everywhere else I look, you know, conservative treehouse.
Yes, they are. To a small extent, but it's not
conservative treehouse is, you know, is kind of like one of these blogs. Tina reads this, and
what is it?
Conservative treehouse.
I never heard of it.
Oh, really?
Never heard of it.
I think it was an outgrowth of maybe of Breitbart, Sundance, this guy. Anyway, it's quite popular amongst conservatives. But even in more, you know, we have friends who are more kind of in the Manhattan Foundation or, you know, conservative groups. They're all doing the same. And like, oh, no, this is all wrong. These people are not right. There's so much... spun up noise about these appointees. It's just it's concerning for the country. And
we have a rundown on the specific problems with each one? I mean, I still think a lot of this is scheduled. I have not been convinced otherwise that Matt Gaetz was not set up as a straw man.
We have already said this, that either these people are set up to detract while the second income. I think Pam Bondi is really what broke everybody.
Why?
Oh, no. You know, she's no good. I'm just telling
Pam
you.
Pam Bondi's no good. This is beyond me.
Now, hold on a second.
I always thought that they wouldn't put Pam Bondi in at first, but they could put Matt Gaetz as the straw man, and then, okay, whatever. We're bringing Pam Bondi, another person from Florida, but she actually has chops. She's been an attorney general for 8 years. She was a prosecutor, and she's a very presentable, to say the least.
Yeah, but
in terms of her appearance.
People,
so what's wrong with her?
I'm just telling you that people bring up these old cases. Oh, she was involved in this. She was involved in that. Oh, that's no good. She was over here on this.
Well, if you're going to do any work in your entire life, especially for over decades, you're going to make, some decisions that are going to piss off someone.
Right. But this is what TDS class, new TDS is about.
New TDS. It's like Coke.
Yeah.
Coke.
Thank
new
you.
TDS.
Yes. Yeah.
There we go.
That's what
we got. We're getting it down.
Yes. That's what this is about. Is people, it was the George Zimmerman case. You remember Trayvon Martin?
I do remember the George
Trayvon Martin. Yeah. She was no good in that.
Why? What did she do wrong?
It's irrelevant. It's just they have to go and argue about it, and then people and
well, don't good point. Well, you got something. You just made your point.
Yes, of course.
Let's do not. Yeah, argue about something that took place 20 years ago.
But it's fueling up. It wasn't 20 years ago. The show was around when this happened. It's fueling up and
close.
And it's fueling up the social media networks, and everybody has just because there's no one left to fight with. Everyone's gone to Blue Sky where they weep. It's weeping all day on Blue Sky. And so what are we going to fight about? Well, we have to fight about these picks. This is no good. It's incessant. This was a kind of an interesting clip. I liked this clip about Trump's appointees. I thought this was kind of funny.
A flurry of announcements from Donald Trump on Friday. The president-elect selecting billionaire Scott Bessent to head the Treasury Department. If confirmed, he would be the first openly gay Treasury Secretary.
Oh, no!
Trump has also nominated Russell Vought as director of the Office of Management and Budget. Trump has described him as an aggressive cost cutter and deregulator. Vought is one of the architects of Project 2025. Trump has called the project's proposals, which include restrictions on abortion pills, birth control and Medicare access, as well as eliminating federal agencies, extreme. For Labor Secretary, Trump selecting Oregon Congresswoman Lori Chavez de Raymer, who lost her re-election bid earlier this month. The president-elect also naming his first Black nominee this term, NFL veteran and conservative commentator Scott Turner, to head the Department of Housing and Urban Development. In the healthcare space, Trump announcing his choice for Surgeon General, Dr. Jeanette Nishiwat, calling her a fierce advocate and strong communicator for preventative medicine and public health, and to lead the Food and Drug...
Did you hear what she just said there? Listen to this.
Calling her a fierce advocate and strong communicator for preventative medicine and public health.
She's pro-vax!
And to lead the Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Marty McCary, a Fox News regular who pushed back against COVID lockdowns. She's also tapping former Florida Congressman Dave Weldon to lead the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a powerful agency that sets vaccine standards and responds to disease outbreaks. Weldon, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has been skeptical of vaccine research and how the government tracks adverse reactions. All of these selections are cabinet positions and will need to be confirmed by the Senate.
To your point, if you're around for 20 years, there's going to be stuff that people look at and go, oh, that wasn't great, or you did, or you were on the wrong side of that, or whatever.
Yeah, me and the mouse.
Is that what you mean? Is the mouse in your pocket? Is that the one? Or what is me and the mouse?
No, there's no evidence.
The actual mouse. Yes, there's no evidence. Yeah, precisely. But yeah. Yeah.
So I'm a schmuck.
Yeah, you were wrong. Perpetually wrong.
I was wrong.
You're
once.
Wrong. You're wrong. That's a great
I've
example.
Been called wrong for various things, by the way, and there's one thing that I was extremely wrong about and no one has ever caught it. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
What? You can't let that dangle out there like that. I mean, how much?
I sure can.
I could keel over dead tomorrow and we'd never know.
I'll reveal. It'll be during the season of reveal. I'll bring it out.
People also say you were wrong on the iPad, but I've never really followed that one. I'm not quite sure. I mean,
I don't think so.
At the time, we were all laughing about the iPad. We were saying, "What, you're going to walk down the street with this giant iPhone next to your head?" I remember making those jokes.
I think that was pretty much. When I'm singled out for something very specific,
there was.
It
happened in a conversation on a panel. It was Twit or something.
Yeah, it's the meaningless. No,
but I'm still good on my no moon landing. Take me back to the moon, and I'll shut up. So, I'm always on the wrong side of that, according to people. But it doesn't really matter. The point is that people are craving. You know, you have to be careful of the ways of the world because it pollutes your soul. This is what's happening. People's souls are being corrupted. Yes.
They've been corrupted. They're not being corrupted. But they're corrupted.
Our job, our service to No Agenda Nation, not outside of it, to No Agenda Nation is, you know, we've always said, we resize your amygdala. We need to work on this again because people are spinning up and spinning out and they're going to start dying off. You know, they're going to start getting heart attacks.
By that, we mean quitting the show.
I'm actually talking about dying off.
We have turnover on this show that's annoying to me. We have people like Dame Tanya over here that used to live in the area.
Yeah.
And she hasn't listened to the show for years.
We had a whole social network.
Whatever happened to the anonymous lesbian. She used to be a huge fan and she hasn't communicated at all.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have stuck with us forever, but yeah, the turnover is interesting.
So we have to bring in new people, which is, you know, annoying.
Well, we need a new crisis. I'm trying to identify one. Here's the crisis. The crisis is new TDS. We got to calm down.
It's new TDS.
Go outside. Look at the blue sky. Sniff the clean air.
I have two clips. I don't have the Jesse Waters clip, but I do have two clips from NPR discussing these new Trump picks.
Okay.
And they're both actually from different parts. They're not the same. It's not like a continuation of the same clip, but they're both from NPR. One is like a quick announcement. And the other one is an elaborate quick announcement. Done by a different show. Let's go with new Trump picks.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. President-elect Donald Trump today nominated Brooke Rollins as Secretary of the Department of Agriculture. She served as the director of the Domestic Policy Council in his first administration. Trump also tapped billionaire investor Scott Bessent as his Treasury Secretary. That's a position with widespread responsibilities in economic, regulatory, and international affairs. NPR's Scott Horsley has more.
He'll probably get a friendly reception from the new GOP Congress, if he's confirmed. One of his first jobs will be getting an extension of Trump's 2017 tax cuts, parts of which are set to expire next year. He'll likely be pushing on an open door when it comes to cutting taxes, although that would probably add to the federal debt, which we learned just yesterday has now surpassed $36 trillion.
Yeah, baby! Rocking and rolling.
So they have to put a negative thing in there in these basic reports.
Did you see?
They don't mention he's gay. Jesse Waters did, but nobody.
It's very interesting. There's only that one report I had is about him being openly gay. And they don't want
Jesse Waters is the only one on Fox who's mentioned it, and I wish I had this clip because in the report Jesse says the gays.
He's been listening to this. So we have no turnover on Jesse Waters. He's still with us, mimicking you.
So the gays. So he and he's married. He's married to some guy named John, as a matter of fact. And but he's one of those. It used to be called Log Cabin Republicans, which were referring to the gays in the Republican Party.
It breaks the narrative of the dumb Dems. It breaks the narrative, and
it does break the narrative.
Can't
but
say
the thing. Now, the thing that bothers me about this Bessent guy to jump into new TDS is that he's a member of the CFR.
Ah, yeah. If it's not CFR, it's WEF. Oh, no. Oh, he's a young global leader of WEF. Oh, no. Oh, no.
A Okay, but this is the second. This is like the way you, I don't know if it was something funny about the way you did that.
Okay.
So here's the second version of the same report.
The next Trump administration is fast taking shape. A quick update on the latest round of picks. This afternoon, President-elect Donald Trump named Brooke Rollins as his pick for agriculture secretary. Rollins was a policy advisor in the first Trump administration and in recent years has headed a think tank closely aligned with Trump's agenda. A few other names offer clues about how Trump will govern as well. He named Russ Vogt to head the Office of Management and Budget, a key post for directing federal spending. Vogt was the leading architect behind Project 2025,
a
conservative plan for a second Trump administration that Democrats tried to make a major campaign issue and that Trump repeatedly tried to distance himself from. Trump said in a statement that Vogt will, quote, dismantle the deep state, end quote. Another noteworthy appointment is Sebastian Gorka, who's been nominated as the new senior director for counterterrorism. Gorka served in Trump's White House as a counterterrorism advisor back in 2017. And then NPR reported that congressional Democrats alleged Gorka had connections with anti-Semitic groups in Hungary, something Gorka denied.
As a small production note, interestingly, these were from two different NPR shows. The first one had channel bias towards the right channel. The left one had channel bias towards the left channel.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. It's not typical.
Now, this Gorka thing is interesting because Gorka and Bannon, when they were both part of the original Trump team at the beginning of his 2016 term, and they were rousted by John Kelly. John Kelly, who was the chief of staff at the time, was something, it seems like a prick to me, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who comes out and was saying he hates Trump, for one thing. So this is like, what kind of a Marine general would go into the office and then start saying bad things about their boss? You have to be something of an asshole. So, and Kelly seemed as though his job was to get rid of Bannon mainly, which he did. He ousted Bannon, and then and the story behind that has never been told by Bannon that I know of. And then he also got rid of Gorka, who he didn't like. And Gorka's something of a blowhard. I don't know how
I don't know how he came back. Yeah, he must have some pictures of somebody. That's very interesting. I love C. Brooklyn 1112 because he's infected by new TDS. Like Mossad connection. I forgot that one. I forgot the Mossad connection.
Oh, yeah.
And he also explains
Epstein. Epstein. Mossad killed Epstein is the latest.
Whitney Webb, I'm sure, is saying that.
Whitney Webb. Slowly I turned.
The reason for our turnover, according to the trolls, you guys need to be more consistent in your beliefs.
We're very consistent in our beliefs.
Explain.
Don't you think?
I think
our belief is to be open-minded.
Yes.
We're extremely consistent with this open-mindedness.
Yeah, we're open to changing.
We're not sitting around as a couple of ideologues going on and on with the, you know, kind of a fixed in stone kind of attitude about everything, because we're not. We this dumb crap that goes on both sides. I think they want us to be Republicans.
Yes. Exactly.
I was a Republican. I was a Democrat. I was a Republican. I was an independent, and now I'm non-affiliated. Like it this way.
I'm not the only. I was a Ron Paul guy for the very beginning.
That's right. You are. Well, actually, everyone's had their moment with libertarianism.
But he was Tea Party. That was the Tea Party days, not the libertarians. Then the Tea Party got hijacked, and then somehow he was kicked out.
They got hijacked by the Texas guy.
Which Texas guy was that?
Oh, what's his name? I can almost think of his name. He was one of the Texas congressmen who he hijacked the party, and a conservative Texan guy. But he wasn't really Tea Party.
Yeah. This is probably good to listen to.
I'll think of his name.
Yeah. This is the NBC overview. So, you know, and then we can tick them off. We can tick the boxes. Trump's flurry of cabinet picks.
Tonight, President-elect Trump choosing Brooke Rollins to lead the Agriculture Department, saying the Texas native will spearhead efforts to protect American farmers. Rollins, who runs a conservative think tank, is also an alum of Trump's first term, serving as his director of domestic policy. The appointment coming after a barrage of announcements late Friday night. The president-elect naming 9 key appointees, most in 2 areas the new White House will be focusing on, public health and the economy.
Come on up, Scott.
For Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, hedge fund manager and major donor and economic advisor to the major Trump campaign. Donor. Bessent expected to make good on Trump's promises to cut taxes and raise tariffs on imports.
And I let it be known that the tariffs will be about 100%.
The president-elect also tapping Oregon Congresswoman Lori Chavez de Rima for labor secretary and Russell Vogt to return as director of the Office of Management and Budget. Vogt has written that a president should take more control of the executive branch.
As an administration, what? The whole notion of an independent agency should be thrown out.
Trump also picking a team of doctors to work with his choice for health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
I'm going to let him go wild on health. I'm going to let him go wild on the food.
The team to include former Florida Congressman Dr. Dave Weldon for CDC director, Fox News medical contributor Dr. Jeanette Nesheswat for Surgeon General, and Johns Hopkins surgeon and researcher Dr. Marty McCary to head the FDA. All of them expected to be disruptors to public health, potentially changing how medicines and food are evaluated.
And what is scary and dangerous to health?
Scary.
It's not RFK Jr. It's the food pyramid lie that's been out there for 60 years.
The president-elect also making former aide Sebastian Gorka a senior advisor on counterterrorism after he only had a temporary low-level security clearance during Trump's first term, according to a then-senior U.S. official.
So, I mean, why no one is yelling about Gorka is beyond me. That's the guy that's the wild guy. Also, not many talking about Witkoff. That seems to be kind of passé.
Which one's Witkoff?
He will be the Middle East envoy.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has tapped Stephen Witkoff as his special envoy to the Middle East. Witkoff, a real estate investor and a close ally of the incoming president, played a key role in raising funds from the Jewish business community for Trump's presidential campaign.
I know this man very well. President Trump is as kind and compassionate a man as I've ever met in my lifetime.
He's no stranger to the Gulf, having worked in U.S. real estate deals with nations like Qatar, but his appointment, in spite of his lack of diplomatic experience, comes at a time when diplomacy is increasingly crucial as Israel intensifies its devastating offensive in Palestine's Gaza. Witkoff has raised funds for the Israeli army and is a vocal supporter of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has an ICC warrant out for his arrest over charges related to war crimes. He was in attendance during Netanyahu's speech to U.S. Congress, calling it a spiritual experience. He has called Trump the strongest and most vocal supporter of Israel in generations. Witkoff is the latest addition to a long list of picks tapped for Trump's second term that have a staunch pro-Israel stance.
Yeah, so he's no good. Pro-Israel, Zionist, probably no good. Mossad, no good. It's exhausting. I can be honest. It's exhausting.
Because Trump keeps you busy.
Everybody, just take a breath. If you got a couple months, take a breath. So it's going to be okay. Let's see what happens. And then, because you can already predict it. It's going to be months of confirmation hearings. We'll be watching C-SPAN. Everybody picking
And then they're all
going to
get in and nothing's going to really change. Nothing. Who are we kidding here?
Well, what's going to change is the economy is going to take a big dump.
Not right away. It's been booming and it's going to continue to do so.
Well, the timing is, you never exactly know the timing and what will.
No, the timing's always, yes, this is a fact.
Yeah,
and so you never know the causation. If you study all the stock market crashes over the over history, the causations are always different. And they're only available to you in hindsight.
Give me three. So nothing is the same? Nothing is, there's never been an identical trigger?
No, for example, in the 70s, the causation was this thing called stagflation.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't that have to do with the 71 going off the gold standard? Didn't that just...
It crashed in 69. It crashed before. The going off the gold standard was an attempt to correct the problem.
Mm.
No, the gold standard thing took place after the crash. The crash took place in 69. Yeah. I remember it very well. And then it lingered until you had this high inflation rate and you had this thing called stagflation. That's never happened before.
Right. We thought we came close.
And we had the recent 2007, 2008 thing was a liquidity crisis, and it had to do with the letters of credit. It had to do with these mortgage-backed bonds, you know, these bull securities. Mortgage things that were just useless. And they were shipped to Europe mostly, who mocked us for doing them. And then they found out that they were stuck with most of them. that's brand new idea. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. I think what I'm seeing though is a global push. So if you want to talk conspiracy, it appears to me that the United States, Russia, and China are colluding together to enter into a global war economy. And it makes sense for everybody. You know, because then we just hunker down. We all got to build stuff. We have to build a missile shield. You got
to
build.
Well, that's the closest you can get to controlling the public.
Yeah, but it seems like that's where it's going. You know, and oh man, NATO and also the healthcare industry, they're all doing everything they can. Also, COP29. Please, let's not do that. We'll do that later. You know, the whole idea of Obama interrupted by Trump, but then into Biden, the whole idea was the new economy is green. So that means new opportunities, mainly for people to have meetings and eat steak and fly in private jets and go everywhere for these meetings three times a year.
Lots of meetings.
But, you know, it's like solar panels and windmills and electric vehicles. All of these things, that was supposed to be the new economy. And Trump is coming and saying, no, we're gonna stick with what we have. And that's a big disruptor. And, you know, so now we see, besides the fact that it's a failed idea, we see Germany, which is the motor of the European Union. No Germany, no European Union. And they can't, they're having trouble manufacturing things because of a lack of affordable energy. So what are you going to do? Well, if you just say, oh, there's war. And I think that it seems that, you know, there's peace is coming in Ukraine. You know, Zelensky is even openly kind of talking about how we're going to do this. And we're going to have a buffer. Actually, the buffer zone thing is interesting. Let me see. Where is it? I have him here somewhere. I think it's this one.
A formal invitation has long been on Zelensky's wish list, but in the Transatlantic Alliance, it has been greeted with resistance from many members. And that means Ukraine needs other options to assure its security if it reaches a peace deal with Russia.
Ukraine will not be going into NATO. There has to be, however, some form of guarantee so that Ukrainians understand that the Russians simply won't start this over next year, and that the certain elements of the West, particularly the US, UK, France, will be ready to stand in should that take place. That means bilateral security guarantees. And I think those are much, much, much more likely than any kind of NATO arrangement.
Ukraine has already entered into bilateral security agreements with 27 of its allies. They pledge long-term support for Ukrainian self-defense by providing assistance to boost Ukraine's military capabilities and shore up Ukraine's economy and governance. But they do not contain any commitments to come to Ukraine's defense with the deployment of armed forces in response to future Russian aggression.
Yeah, that's not the one. Somewhere I have a clip where they talk about the buffer zone, which will be, you know, in this region where supposedly 11,000 Koreans are walking around.
Well, that's cursed because where the Koreans are. They're not in Ukraine.
No, they're, well... But remember,
Russia doesn't want it to be part of the buffer zone.
No, but you remember what they're talking about. I'm not saying that's what the deal will be. They're talking about is that, you know, 10 square kilometers that Ukraine went into. Look at us. look at what we did. We're awesome. We're winning. That would be part of the buffer zone. I mean, this is coming to an end. And so they're already trying to figure out, okay, how do we set everybody up? PSYOP the European Union. We got it. We got to have all kinds of stuff. We got to supply Ukraine with everything except nuclear weapons. But we got to supply them with everything. So we have to have the war economy created. I mean, that just seems like, and China, of course, for us, it will be China. And the patsy in the middle is going to be Taiwan. Well, for all we know, they're in on it, too. This is the kind of stuff that you have to look at. You got to step back and say, first, we're not going to die. There's not going to be nuclear war. This is just, it hasn't stopped. People are just...
We have an end of show clip which emphasizes it. It's quite funny. Yeah,
helped by, Putin's former foreign minister. I'm really failing today.
You okay?
No, I'm not okay. Where's his former foreign minister? Let me see. Putin.
What about his current foreign minister, Lavrov?
This is Sergei Markov. Sergei Markov. He's the former spokeshole, not foreign minister, but spokeshole for Putin. And he goes on the BBC, which is what you do if you want to communicate something to the international community. And he says,
this is the war which you started against us. I think it's extremely, extremely dangerous.
He's good, right?
And do you think President Putin would be prepared to use nuclear weapons?
Not now, for sure. I think the response could be also by sending grotesque missiles on American military base on the Polish and German territory. It's one of the possible solutions. But I think that Biden, Macron, and Steinmeier, they want escalation, which could lead to the nuclear war. And from my understanding, in the war scenario, the nuclear war happened before Christmas of this year. Probably you will be not able to say Merry Christmas because you will stay in the hall trying to hide away your family from the nuclear catastrophe. It can develop very, very quickly.
We're not going to be able to say Merry Christmas. Because we'll be hiding in the hole. Now, what he mentioned there, this is the new narrative, and I haven't really heard it in the U.S. yet, which Putin is thinking about attacking U.S. bases in Poland. And I got a message.
Yeah, ones that have the missiles. I've heard this.
Yeah, so this is from a very reliable source. Not the old reliable sources, new reliable sources.
It's not the reliable source. They had the quantum dots.
No,
on
not,
the
no, no. I've since upgraded my sources. A very close relative is a field grade officer and army special operator of the source of mine, who is now deployed in Poland. He believes that a Russian attack on Poland would be suicide for Russia. He concedes that it would be a war of attrition, but believes that the U.S. and Poland would F them up. As an old veteran myself, says my source, I'm familiar with the American weaponry, but our arsenal isn't the only reason he thinks we prevail. His comment was that the Poles are excellent warriors, dedicated to their nation, and to this day have a never again mentality about Russian meddling. This is not the kind of country you want to attack, especially when it's backed by a power like the United States. Worth mentioning, Poland is significantly less corrupt than Ukraine, at least according to sources.
Well, it has to be. Everything is.
Everything is less corrupt than Ukraine. And just as a side note on
that whole... That sounds like a reasonable report to me.
Yeah. A side note on the whole nuclear war. Oh, we got to be so afraid. You remember the pamphlets that we played the clip from that was going around? Oh, they're handing out nuclear war pamphlets in Sweden. So boots on the ground from one of our Swedish producers. This fact is, this pamphlet has been around since the Cold War, has always been a part of the Swedish civil defense. There was a long period of time in the early 2000s when the government decided there won't be any more war, and thus the pamphlet was discontinued. But in 2020, when we ran out of toilet paper and white bread, the pamphlet was reinstated together with state radio shows like Berdeskop Readiness. So this is nothing new whatsoever.
Wait, you're telling me that because of the shortage of toilet paper, they did this as a distraction?
No, I think to use it as toilet paper is what I would.
No, I don't think that's true.
What I'm thinking.
It's obviously a distraction. No, it's a distraction. That would be the, oh, you're running out of toilet paper. Like, so what? Look what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, there's nothing compared to what's coming. I do have, if you want to dive into it for a second, CBS had a pretty interesting, I got a series of medium range clips here about the ballistic missiles. We probably saw the clips. Russia deployed a ballistic missile and it popped open the payload, and then pew, pew, five separate charges came out and blew up some stuff there in Ukraine. Yeah. This may be interesting to get some thoughts on.
NATO is set to hold an emergency meeting on Tuesday after Russia tested a new intermediate range ballistic missile on
some tests. It seemed like a real deployment to me
on Ukraine. The new missiles have the ability to carry nuclear capable weapons. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the law.
I have the capability to carry a nuclear weapon. I mean, why is this supposed to be scary?
I don't know why. You know, you're right. This is an interesting point. They've been saying this as though it's some new thing. If you remember, I think it was even as far back as the 60s or 70s, when you were a little kid, they were talking about nuclear-tipped artillery shells.
Yep.
Where you had a big gun and you could shoot an artillery shell 5 miles and it was a nuke. Now, if you could do that, obviously you can put a nuke on anything, on a Volkswagen. I mean, so why are they emphasizing this? It's dumb.
No, it's to spin you up and get you ready for the war economy. When I was a kid in the 70s in Europe, it was the neutron bomb.
Yes, I remember. That was really promoted by Reagan in the 80s more than I think the set. I know it was developed. I think it was developed in the 70s. Somebody has to look it up. But I know Reagan was seriously discussing them and he got shut down for talking about it too much.
Just so people know what the neutron bomb was. And there were kids get out of school early in Holland to march against the American use of the neutron bomb, which I think was also a Pointer Sisters song. But the neutron bomb would kill the people, but save the buildings.
Yes, it was a bomb it was a hydrogen bomb type device that didn't explode necessarily. It just gave out copious amounts of deadly neutrons by the boatload, and it would kill everything within like a 10-mile radius, dead, anything that was living.
But then you could move back in later into the building.
You could just haul the corpses out, and you had a whole town to yourself.
Yeah, you just turn
off.
Yeah,
what a great idea.
Turn off the tea kettle, and you're good to go.
Neutron bomb.
Neutron bomb.
The new missiles have the ability to carry nuclear-capable weapons. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the launch was in response to Ukraine's recent use of long-range missiles provided by the U.S. inside his country. CBS News senior national security correspondent Charlie Daggett joins us now from the Pentagon. So, Charlie,
from the Pentagon,
what's the fact that Russia is testing these intermediate missiles signal to Ukraine, the U.S. and its allies? Does it change the trajectory of this war?
I love the testing. What is this testing? They deployed it. They deployed the missile. That's not a test.
Now, well, before you continue with this clip, there's also a couple of other things that came out. The way they describe it as a medium missile, one group described it as the first use of an ICBM in the history of the world that actually got deployed. And then another group, news group I'm talking about, described it as the hypersonic test missile.
Yeah, three kilometers per second.
So it's either hypersonic, ICBM, or whatever this other thing is they're talking about. And they all had MIRVs, and they all could be nuclear tipped, and it was a test or something. Yeah. I don't know. And this is terrible reporting.
And they had a CGI animation of it spinning in the air. Look at it
I'm telling you that when I saw that, first time I saw that video, that's what the first thing came to mind. This is CGI.
Yeah, well, that was CGI. I've only seen the CGI version. You know. Like that guy.
But they're not presenting it as CGI. They're presenting it as somebody took a video with their camera or something. Phone.
It does, Lindsay. It does. For the people that I've spoken to, while some U.S. officials say Russia likely only possesses a handful of these experimental missiles. I've been told they pose a unique threat. So they're capable of reaching 3,000 miles. They carry a multiple payload system. It's called a multiple independently targetable reentry vehicles.
Oh, I like multiple independently targeted reentry vehicle.
That's different than a MIRV.
How about missile? Just missile.
This is important because as the missile descends, those multiple warheads can be released at different speeds and different directions.
Amazing.
Potentially spread over 1,000 miles. So that combined with its lofted trajectory, challenges even the most advanced of Ukraine's air defense systems. Advanced. So the missile that we saw at Dnipro focused on one area, and we've seen some of the videos. So it came overhead and then unleashed six warheads down to a concentrated area. It's unlike anything that they've seen on the battlefields of Ukraine. And yes, the term that they've used here, they're not worried, but they're concerned.
Well, wait a minute. There's no worry. It's just concerned. Well, now comes, this is very troubling to me because I know language changes over time, but I feel like when you use the term decimated or decimate, it still hurts me to say, oh, you mean completely wiped out? No, that's 10%. And I don't think, has there ever really been a change in the dictionary term of decimated?
I think if you look in definition number 3 or 4, when they get down to the newer versions, I think it does have a connotation that it's wiped out when it doesn't really mean that. It technically doesn't mean it.
Okay, so I'm looking at Merriam-Webster, which is what we usually use.
Yeah, because they switch their definitions faster than anybody else.
So they still have it as a transitive verb, to select by lot and kill every 10th man.
That's the original. Should be number one.
Definition. It is number one.
Yeah.
Definition number 2, to extract a tax of 10%. Number 3, to reduce drastically, especially in number. And then 3B, to cause great destruction or harm to. So, but when you're talking in military terms, you know, I feel that you should, that decimate means a tenth. Anyway, here's the problem.
Those days are over.
Yeah.
Could Russia essentially decimate Ukraine with a handful of these missiles they have left?
Well, Lindsay, you know, not decimate, but just for instance, right? So we've seen, and I've been there, when Russia has unleashed a number of, you know, S-300 missiles, which are anti-aircraft missiles. They get plenty of reach. They get the Shahed Iranian drones that can come in. But say Lviv, right? Lviv is way far west, very close to the Polish border. This comes in at a different trajectory than a cruise missile, which is easier to intercept, and the missile defense systems are in place to do that. Oh. But if Russia were to launch a number of these missiles at the same time, Ukraine would really struggle to take them down. And this, I think what we saw at Dnipro, we're only talking about maybe 750 miles from Russia. They could throw anything at Dnipro, and they have. I think that was messaging to say, this is what we've gotten, this is what we can do with it.
Oh, it was messaging. Okay. Well, how will Ukraine respond?
How is Ukraine expected to respond?
Well, you know, mostly they'll be asking for more defense systems. They're going to need,
systems. Patriots. And
they're going to need real defense.
Real defense.
There's concern. You know, for the first time, really, I believe, since the war began, they had to shut down their parliament. You know, just yesterday, the United States shut down its embassy. We had had a warning that a new missile was going to be tested days before it happened. And we reported that. So that just shows you that in a place where air raid sirens are pretty much a fact of daily life, some people don't even rush to the shelters. They are now because of the unpredictability of what this weapon poses.
Now, the reason why I said earlier that it seems like all these three major superpowers, Russia, the United States, and China, are all in cahoots is because, you know, we're going to have to change some. The reason for NATO is so we can standardize the weapons, you know, so that you kind of lock everybody in.
Standardize it on Lockheed, Boeing.
Yeah, you lock them into our U.S. standards, you know, so you get, you know, you have to use your 5/3/8 quarter wrench, whatever, instead of, you know, wrench 10/11, 10/12, whatever it is in Europe with centimeters. So, and you want to have the standardized bullets and shells, all of that. So you're locked into
The 155s.
So they're going to do that one way or the other. Now, to add to it, so that we can have another market to sell to, I think that's the whole reason for this North Korean nonsense.
South Korea says Russia supplied air defense systems to North Korea in exchange for troops to support the Kremlin's war with Ukraine. What more are we learning about this?
Yeah, so this came from intelligence and South Korean foreign ministry, who essentially underlining what they said was going to happen, and certainly what the United States and others were worried about. North Korea sent 11,000 troops to Russia.
Why are we worried about it? Why are we worried about it? Why are we worried? It's South Korea. I mean, no offense. But oh, so worriedable, so worried. No, we're not. This, you walk on the street, you worried about South Korea? Will anybody say, oh, yeah, I'm so worried about South Korea? No.
Yeah, you're right.
No. There's no worry. Crap. We don't need that.
They immediately started saying, well, wait a minute, what do they get in return? And this seems to be an indication. So they have anti-aircraft missiles that are being supplied to North Korea. Not that big a deal, but in terms of the technology, what they're more capable of, I mean, North Korea's got their own air defense systems. This is new because it's Russian. They're also trading technology. According to the same statement, the Russians are providing North Korea with oil, and that is against sanctions. Oh, not that it much matters with those two countries, but... Yeah.
You cut off Russia from the financial system. You forbid EU to take in oil, which, of course, they're still doing. And then... Oh, well, it's against sanctions. Russia is supplying oil to North Korea. That's no good.
That's that sort of cooperation. You know, this is a two-way street. 11,000 North Korean troops, when you consider the tremendous losses that Russia is suffering, is really just a drop in the ocean. You have to ask yourself what North Korea is getting in exchange for that.
Oh, what are they getting in exchange? You have to ask yourself. I don't want to ask myself this. Last clip. So,
yeah, who cares? So
everybody's got their, to coin your phrase, tit in a ringer about, you know, Trump coming in and NATO. So time for an emergency meeting.
Ukraine is hoping for concrete and meaningful outcomes at next week's emergency NATO meeting. What is Kyiv asking for? Are they going to be asking for more of those defense systems?
Do you know, Lindsay, that is, I just read that statement, and that's where the statement ends. But it's a refrain that we've heard time and time again. Again, they want concrete productivity out of these meetings. You know, they can't have platitudes. NATO is concerned. Poland especially is concerned about the development of this new weapon. Russia has got plenty of weapons that can reach NATO countries. It's what this weapon represents. And I also have to, I keep drilling down about this. You know, the United States just had a $275 million aid package promised to Ukraine. There's something like $5 billion in aid on the table right now. It's called a surge that the Biden administration said that they want to get.
Right. I can see the board meetings at Raytheon already. Hey, Bob, there's $5 billion on the table. How are we going to get that? We want most of that. That's our money.
To Ukraine. And the clock is ticking. You know, the Ukrainians know it. The Russians know it. We're headed to a new administration. Nobody's entirely sure whether that support for Ukraine will continue past January 20th. So there's very much a hurry up offense, but particularly with the development of these new weapons. You know, the United States has allowed these attackers.
That's a good catch. Hurry up offense. Since whenever has a hurry up offense been a good strategy? I don't think it's.
It is a good strategy. It's always a good strategy. That's
why?
The thing you need to know.
Why?
The reason it's a football term and it refers to a hurry up offense, which is hard to do because it poops you out. But if you can pull it off, it keeps the other team so they can't do any substitutions during the play, and they have to keep their guys in there, and then you keep running them ragged. And if you can outlast them in terms of the ability to have more stamina, then they'll be beaten back, and you'll beat the crap out of them with a hurry up offense. So it's a good strategy.
Is the
if
wish,
you can do it?
Is the wishbone a part of the hurry up?
Yeah, it's something
sports
else. That's
ball,
a sexual position.
20th. So there's very much a hurry up offense, but particularly with the development of these new weapons. You know, the United States has allowed these attackums, longer range weapons, to be used on Russian soil. That's a major development. And it's one of the reasons that President Putin said he's unleashed this new weapon directly because of that and Britain's storm shadow. So we have seen a huge escalation in the past week or so. Ukraine's been out of the headlines for a long time. We have teams there once again. This is front page news.
We're
talking about it now. This is going to accelerate and increase as we get closer to January.
So Mockingbird Media, the TV stations fighting for their lives, they got teams out there again because their military sponsors demand it. We demand coverage. We have to have coverage. We need that. There's $5 billion on the table right now. It's just a drop in the bucket compared to our $1 trillion annual budget, but we want it. We for Christmas, it's our Christmas bonus. And the relatively young German foreign minister, what's her name? Her name is Annalena Baerbock. She weighs in.
We are in the midst of a geopolitical power play by a few fossil fuel states. Their playing board is the backs of the poorest...
Fossil fuel states.
Fossil fuel states?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means America, Russia. What other fossil fuel states are there? It's us. Us and Russia. This is a power play.
Is that bad? Is she implying that fossil fuel states are a bad group of mean people or what?
Yes, because they don't have any energy. They have to buy it from us.
They had all those nukes. Why don't they just crank them back up? Were they idiots to shut those down?
Yeah. But that's exactly it. The power play was it within your own government, Annalena. That was the power play. And so, you know, everyone, we don't want Russian gas. And then, we'll just take it from America. Sure, we'll do that.
Twice the price.
Yes.
Their playing board is the backs of the poorest and most vulnerable countries.
Now she's trying to make it sound like poor people in Africa. No, that's the COP29. This is different.
We as the European Union will not accept a deal that comes at the expense of those who suffer most from the effects of
the
climate crisis.
The ones that are getting killed?
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
At the expense of the dead Ukrainians? Is that what she's trying to imply here? Is that what she's talking about?
This is the widows and the orphans of the dead Ukrainians. That's what she's talking about. They're now poor and sad. No kidding. Good job.
We as the European Union will not accept a deal that comes at the expense of those who suffer most from the effects of climate crises.
There it is.
We will not allow the most vulnerable, especially the small island states.
She brings in everything. Well, listen, the small island states, now she's going off the reservation.
We will not allow the most vulnerable, especially the small island states, to be ripped off by the new fuel-rich fossil fuel emitters who have the backing, unfortunately, at this moment of the presidency.
Ripped off?
Yeah, ripped off. Yeah, we're ripping
off. How are they getting ripped off? Nobody's even bothering them. Getting ripped off, does she even know what that means?
She's a Gen Zer, so she can do what she can say whatever she wants.
She's an idiot. The Germans have lost the plot.
Yeah, they have. They have. They have. Okay, three things I need to say. One, this is because it came up on the show, and I can't remember the context of it, but we were talking about wireless power from space.
Yes.
So the U.S. Army has just contracted Raytheon to replace fuel lines with beamed power, which is... Yeah, where's the power coming from? Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that's going.
I just always imagine a bird flying through the beam and just poof, on fire.
The second, German industrialists are very worried about Trump's return.
Why?
Because they're worried that he's going to all of Europe, my family, like, hey, it's probably good for America that Trump is going to be president again. Bad for us, though. Because this is literally, we won't be able to export anything. I said, where are you getting this from?
Oh, brother.
I said, cars, cars, maybe.
What?
Yeah.
Italy, no, even cars, come on. Italy, they're electric,
Italy,
maybe.
Italy is worried about exporting their olive oil and, oh, no. My sister. They're like, oh, no.
Are they nuts? We have such an insatiable appetite for imports. That we're all of a sudden, everyone's going to be using California olive oil. We can't barely supply the state, let alone the world.
So
what are they, crazy?
No, they have news sources who are spinning them up.
Oh, man.
And then this one, we had been wondering where Victoria Nudelman has gone.
Yes, yeah, we're always wondering where she's gone. Whatever bad, this is like she's like a bad penny.
Well, you know where she showed up? She is now an ambassador to the National Endowment for Democracy.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which is an obvious spook operation, slush fund for the State Department and intelligence.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't sent us money.
Right? So... She will be doing public advocacy and representation. As a high-profile representative of NED, the ambassador engages in public speaking, participates in global forums, and represents the organization's mission to advance democracy. Look out, some democracy incoming, and civil society, both domestically and internationally. Diplomatic engagement. The ambassador helps to foster strategic partnerships with governments.
Mm-hmm. I like the way they use the term, loosely use the term ambassador as if she's representing a country. This is like, you're the ambassador. Oh, yeah, Ambassador Adam Curry is the ambassador for the No Agenda show.
Next year, if we're still alive, God willing, we need to give out ambassadorships.
Boom.
If the National Endowment for Democracy can name someone an ambassador, I think we can. We need, by the way, we need No Agenda ambassadors to represent us in foreign countries.
I think we can do it before year end.
The ambassador provides strategic advice to NED leadership. That's right. Our ambassadors will provide us with strategic advice on key global political trends and opportunities. This actually sounds like a No Agenda gig, offering expertise on how to effectively address challenges facing democratic institutions. And then the best part, fundraising and advocacy. You see how this fits in with us? In addition to representing NED publicly, the ambassador plays a vital role in promoting the organization's initiatives, helping to secure funding, building alliances, and mobilize support democracy.
Yes. You got to put this text aside. I can use it.
Yeah, well, it's on their website, but yes, I've got the text for you. So anyway, to summarize, new TDS is unhealthy. Stop it. Instead, let's go back to TDS Classic, because I need to fit these two clips in.
Well, good, because it leads me to my TikTok clips that you promised I could play.
Okay. I didn't promise it. One person sends an email and you're all encouraged.
Are you referring to the female listener who said that the TikTok clips are the best part of the show? Yes. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. And now you're all encouraged.
I'm always encouraged. I thank her for the notice, but I don't need encouragement.
No. So are you familiar with Jennifer Rubin, columnist for WAPO?
Well, we talked about her before. You just don't remember it. But no. She's the one who always came. She was always listed as the conservative blogger columnist. She's supposed
to be a blogger.
This was years ago. She would always be considered a blogger conservative. Mm-hmm. She was always billed by the WAPO as a conservative when she has no conservative leanings whatsoever. She's pretty much a communist.
She's conservative?
This is what they've been trying to sell the public, because they wanted to have a few balanced columnists. So they had all these different columnists. And so she was dubbed conservative, and she would basically just rail against conservatism because it's not what it should be, communism.
Now, I think this is an evergreen. This is an evergreen by the conservative columnist of WAPO.
And for people who don't get political news, who never pick up a newspaper, who never turn on CNN, who never even bother with Fox News, those people really have no idea what's going on. And that means we have to bend over backwards, not to suck up to these people, not to make excuses for them, but at least to communicate the basic facts. You don't have a vaccine because you're not getting a child tax credit because all the good things that are happening at the state level, they have to know why they're getting those things. Oh, you have a chip manufacturing plant because a Democratic president put that into effect and a Democratic governor went out and solicited bids, and now you have X number of thousands of jobs. It's that simple. You can't talk broad themes. You have to boil it down to nuts and bolts, and you have to be pithy. What do I mean by pithy?
Pithy. Okay, so what she's doing here, the conservative blogger, is explaining how Democrats need to explain to other Democrats who have withdrawn from news. You have to explain to them how bad it really is, and you need to be pithy. What is the definition of pithy? Do you know that offhand?
Oh, just boiling it down to the essence, I think, is what I would define it.
Pithy, concise. But
this part that you're going to play, I'm sorry, this part you're going to play next is the only part that's really been floating around. And I think this is what you mean by the evergreen. This woman is an idiot.
And you have to be pithy. What do I mean by pithy? How about this? Republicans want to kill your kids. It's actually true.
It's true.
If you're going to oppose vaccinations, if you're going to stop breakthrough medical research, if you're going to allow minors and all sorts of people to get semi-automatic weapons, which they use to shoot up schools, well, then you are responsible for kids' health and death, unfortunately. It has to be that simple and that direct, and it has to be over and over and over again.
There it is, America. Either your kids are going to be dead or your boy's going to be a girl. I mean, the choice is yours, America. And then the Dial, the editor of the Dial.
This is that particular clip. I could have clipped. This has been going around for a couple of weeks. I was almost tempted to clip, but it annoys me so much to listen to her and her self-righteous approach. She's patronizing. She's terrible. She's just full of herself. And this is, she's worse than anybody out there. And to think that she's on video doing this on her podcast.
No business doing video. Yeah. But the issue is, and this is what we've seen. We got early reports from YouTubers, and we're seeing an overall downtrend, a withdrawal. Only the super angry have gone over to weep on Blue Sky. But people have given up.
I think that a big difference of Trump 2 versus Trump 1 is that people are really burnt out. I'm hearing all around me, you know, I'm just going to not read the news. I'm tuning it out. I don't have to care about this anymore. And I think that that's true among, you know, Democrats writ large. The party is in disarray. No one knows what direction to go. People are tired of fighting, and they're tired of fighting with each other. And it's also true among activists. There was a sense in, you know, Trump, when Trump was first elected in 2016, of, you know, people coming together can stop bad things. And that, you know, that kind of energy takes a lot to be sustained over time. And what we're seeing now is a lot of sense of being tired and, you know.
This is exactly what's happening. People have given up.
I love my truck and I love what I do.
People have given up. They're tired of fighting. They're like, okay, whatever. You know, they see that, especially after the Hitler, you know, he's going to turn the military on you on election day. All of this stuff turned out to be not true. And so, and people rightfully are given up, and they need to be embraced. I'm just saying, we need to embrace them. In fact, we need to embrace people like, I was quite surprised by this, Brian Williams. Brian Williams, who did the election coverage for his new job after being exposed as a big phony. If you remember, he got fired for being a big phony. I was under fire. We crashed. What was the helicopter story?
There was more than one story he just made up.
He got shot down. So he goes on Seth Meyers' show, which I didn't know was still on the air, because television is really becoming irrelevant, except for the clips that we all diligently post on X and social media. Blue Sky, you don't see much of. Blue Sky is just basically Jeff Jarvis complaining all day long.
Is Jeff Jarvis over there?
Oh, yeah. All those guys are over there. Kara Swisher, good. Jeff Jarvis, Prophecy. You know,
what's funny about that, they did change it or move.
That's all right.
But these guys, they build an audience. In fact, there's a couple of them that have built really huge audiences on Twitter, and then they just abandon them. What kind of thinking is this?
Because I have principles. I have scruples, damn it.
So, scruples, there you go. It's a show title.
Here's Brian Williams laying it out succinctly.
It is tough love time for the Democratic Party. I think it needs to be stripped down and rebuilt. I think that means a change in leadership. I want to know who thought it was a good idea that Joe Biden stand for another 4 years at 80 years of age and 37% popularity. So then that saddled the party with a British-like short campaign season for them. I think it's insulting when members of the working class, which the Democratic Party has lost entirely in our lifetimes, to insist the economy is doing great. A 12-pack of Bounty is $40. Rich folks don't feel that. Poor folks already switched to Sparkle during the COVID, during the lockdown. And I think telling them that the NASDAQ is gangbusters is further insulting. It's insulting. I think the biggest unforced error of the Biden administration by far was the border. To tell people it's not a problem is insulting. For the working class to see incoming migrants getting welcome bags, debit cards, and motel rooms is probably insulting as well. So there's a lot of work to do. You know, it was when they handed out camo hats that said Harris Walls, and the Democrats were, they were kind of charmed by that. Their party has gone quinoa, and the rest of America's eating at Cracker Barrel.
Bam.
And so it was kind of an ironic use of something millions of Americans put on their heads to start their day every day.
Exactly. Where was this Brian Williams on MSNBC?
Yeah, this rant has been going. This is a good rant. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah.
This rant has been floating around, and it is a killer. And you're exactly right. Where is this commentary before the election, or 6 months ago, or 2 years ago?
Because he's in the milieu. Believe me, he's no longer invited to. In fact, I don't know if there are dinner parties anymore. The people that did the dinner parties are tired. We're tired. We're just going to go live in the Hamptons for a year. Or we're going to move to, or we're going to go sit in our house in the south of France, whatever.
Yeah, I know. That's you're not too far from the truth with these people.
So then we have television, and I just include all moving images that come through a cable as television, not YouTube, but television. Linear television, who start at the top of the hour and end at the top of the hour with 18 minutes of commercials, they are beside themselves. They don't know what to do other than justify their existence and the reason you should not be watching Joe Rogan. No, you should not be watching Theo Vaughn. You should not be watching Tucker Carlson. You shouldn't. But there are reasons why you need to be with the big corporate media, and I hate to do it, but I have to give you a trigger warning because you know what's coming.
At the tone, a clip from The View will be played. Shelter in place.
People want us divided, and they aren't just here in this country. There are foreign adversaries who are infiltrating our social media because it is prudent for us to stay that way. But so when you see something that really pisses you off, you should triple check that one.
Yes. But I think that's why people like our show, because they know that we are checked by ABC News. But
we're checked by everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if we're wrong, we have, you know, the legal note here. Mm-hmm.
Pointing to Sonny Hostin.
Human legal.
But in my, we went from Walter Cronkite, basically, to this guy Joe Rogan, who believes in dragons. He believes in dragons. He believes in dragons.
Did you triple force that?
Yes, I did. And he also thinks that the dragons, like I guess, like dinosaur-y type of animals, roamed the earth when people did. So this is the type of really, really bad information that's going out
there. Well, in defense, there are some really good news.
It's possible that Donald Trump did roam the earth when dinosaurs were here.
So stupid that she said, oh, no, we fact check everything. And then she goes in, well, I looked, he believes in dragons. Like, what is wrong with these people? Even the audience, like, ha, 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 ha. They're running away from this nonsense. It's collapsing unto itself. And after they try to justify their existence, even they just talk about social media.
There are some really good news kind of influencer types, and I think it's great that they're getting information about global and current events in front of younger people who maybe don't tune into traditional media. But to Sarah's point, there has to be some fact checking and actually verification of the things that are shared, because I spend a lot of time on Instagram Reels and I'm served with things that I get outraged about. And then I
says enough about this group. I spend a lot of time on Instagram Reels. Okay, you have a life.
Realize, oh, that's not even true, but I have the sense to go and look it up. But what I do worry about with this, like the Blue Sky versus X, because a lot of people I follow on X, Twitter, have now left to go to Blue Sky. I worry we're all going into our own echo chamber. So we had this, you know, this election that was tense. Donald Trump won, and the right is going to stay on X, and then the left is all going to be on Blue Sky. How do we try to talk to each other?
No.
Well, unfortunately, I will have to say, the other side, I think, has driven people away, because it's not just discourse. Mm-hmm. It's nasty name calling. Yeah, I'm coming after your family and I'm going to do this to you. And I don't think anyone should have to take that from anybody if they don't have to. Yeah. Well, so I think a lot of Republicans who also are getting that because they have opinions that may differ from what is being said, they're moving as well. Because, you know, and I know why also, because, you know, as I believe,
You know,
Elon Musk is the actual vice president.
I mean, fact check. Elon Musk is the actual vice president.
I like the way that clip was structured, because it starts off with ABC fact checks everything we do, so we're great. And then it comes up with something like that at the end and nobody says anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's see. Oh, here's the Washington. I'm looking at Blue Sky to see if they're all kind over there. Because, you know, obviously.
No, they're getting worse. I understand. I don't go there. I've never even opened that site once. I'm going to have to eventually, because you're going to start bringing it up. So you WAPO. Seem to be WAPO. Over there a lot.
Yeah. WAPO. Sebastian.
And I do like the journalists, our fabled journalists that are famous, that teach journalism. And there's more than a few of them. And they're all biased as hell. And it's just like, wow. And they're all over Blue Sky and Mastodon.
Well, let's start with the Washington Post. They post on Biscay. Sebastian Gorka, the pugilistic commentator. What does pugilistic mean?
That means he's a boxer. That means literally he's a boxer.
The pugilist. The pugilistic commentator who leveraged fears about Islam as a threat to Western civilization into a short-lived role in the first Trump administration is poised for a second run inside the White House. Kara Swisher. Let's see what she has. Well, she's dumb. Let me see. She's always, she posts about cowboy hats. I don't know what her problem is.
She posts on what's cowboy hat?
I don't know. Kara Swisher, Steve Jobs. She posts a link to Elon Musk. He has to become a beta. Oh, man.
What?
She just posts nonsense. So here's a Muppet with a hair on fire, and she posts, "This reminds me of the redonkulous Twitter files, hair on fire nonsense on steroids, which is to say a whole lot of nothing to show for it, and that's a tragedy for the taxpayer."
Huh? She used the word redonkulous.
Oh, she does this. She used a gajillion. She used these words.
This
all
is
the
all
time.
The Rachel Maddow terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me see if it's Jeff Jarvis, if he's posted anything new. You need to get on the Blue Sky, man.
I'm gonna hold off.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Jeff Jarvis. Elon Musk's investment in Twitter seemed insane, but it gave him his power.
That's it. That's a post.
Yeah.
Why would it? What kind? That's just what some rando comment out of the blue, just because it's on your mind.
I had a wonderful
I have a clever idea. I have a clever comment I'm going to make, and then you that's what you end up posting.
He's a very smart man. He's a professor.
Well, he was. I think he's retired.
He does a lot of reboosting rewinding, I guess we call it on Blue Sky.
Is it whining?
You can whine or you can rewind. I don't know.
It's called Skeets or something. It's got some screwy name.
I mean, we have Boost the Toot, Slash the X, and Wine on Blue Sky. I can't think of anything else.
All right, let's play a couple of TikTok clips and break this up.
Oh, jeez.
Let's start with, this is back to what you were previously discussing, and let's talk about this. This is a bunch of these TikTok clips are out there about the Thanksgiving quitters.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is about quitting your family.
Yeah. Quit the family because they voted for Trump.
Okay. Hold on.
TikTok. Not going home for Thanksgiving this year. I'm 31 and it's my first time standing up to my family like this. And it honestly feels like a huge relief. I'm not doing this to punish them or to be petty, but I did let them know that it just makes me too angry and upset to be around them right now. And this Thanksgiving, I simply have to excuse myself from the family table. I debated going to Thanksgiving and making a huge scene and having a blowout over politics, but in the end, I actually don't think that that's going to be effective or a good use of my energy. I genuinely feel that letting them know that this is really personal to me and it does affect me and that this is something that will keep me from family holidays is actually kind of a way to get through to like conservative boomer families more so than anything else. And my goal really isn't to change their mind because they've been pretty deeply entrenched in their value set for many, many years. And it's the one they indoctrinated me into. But with Thanksgiving coming on the heels of such an atrocious election, I just thought I would share that I'm doing something differently this year and that it's sad, but it feels right.
I mean, so what happens is you see this and you think, what do you think when you see this clip? You think, wow, what a crazy person. What do you think?
Well, I'm looking, she's 31, so she's a mature woman,
mm-hmm.
bordering on middle-aged. She obviously is a cat lady, and she now she's standing up to her parents for the first time as, wait, didn't you move out of the house? That's standing up to your parents. You know, they'd like to keep you there. I mean, I see a pathetic soul.
Yes.
Pathetic.
But I see it differently from you. I see it as someone who is lonely because she probably gave up on men as well, you know, because, you know, Trump is going to make men toxic again.
Well, she didn't have a shaved head, so there's that.
Yeah, but that's beside the point. And she's so lonely and sorrowed, perhaps depressed, that she wants to, she's crying out for help, and she's probably going to go to Thanksgiving. She's just saying this to get likes on TikTok and people say, you go, girl, you're right, you sell them, you should stand up. It is complete egotism and narcissism. Why else are you doing this on video, on TikTok?
I could have put together 30 of these clips.
Yeah, of course, because it's a competition. You want more, like, it's like dopamine. You can do coke or you can post on TikTok. What's the difference? It makes you feel good.
I think it's pathetic. I'm not going to argue against your interpretation, but maybe it makes you feel good, but it makes people have a... I don't know what it's supposed to... It gives you negatives. It's a negative performance. This is not a good thing to do. It's unhealthy.
It sells.
You know, she's not selling anything. Let's go with the arrogant girl.
I am happily every MAGA man's worst nightmare. Like, keep those cowboy hats and those little boots away from me, baby boy. I don't want to be a part of it. Like, I'm divorced. I'm liberal. I don't go to church. I don't cook. I'm a nurse who believes in vaccination and modern medicine. Like, you don't... keep that yeehaw away from me.
Again, she craves the cowboy. She wants the cowboy, but she is so stuck in her psychosis that she has to say, just so you know, I don't want you, cowboy. Stay away from me, cowboy. I believe in vaccines, cowboy. Come on, cowboy. Come on. No, stay away from me, cowboy. These people need help, and they're reaching out, and you are just excoriating them.
I'm divorced. I can't cook. I mean, come on, lady. What a thing to brag about.
She's not bragging. She's it's a cry for help.
The way she presented it, this is a good looking woman. And she is bragging about being divorced and she can't cook. Because, you know, I'm worth it, kind of.
No, she's saying, I need help. I need to learn how to cook.
She's never going to cook. You can tell. Okay, right. And then we have this one, which is the last one of this group, because I played one last show.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And this is a promotion for Wicked.
With the Wicked.com, everybody. Don't go there.
This is a video for all you MAGA supporters out there. Today is the Wicked premiere, and I just want to provide you with a gentle reminder that this is not for you!
The entire movie is about a girl who's marginalized based on the color of her skin and fights for her individuality. If you go to see this movie and I see you rooting for anyone but the wizard, I swear to God!
She got paid for that. She got paid. She got paid for that. That's a native ad. She got paid for that.
That's good, easy, easy money.
She got paid for that one. You know, we were talking about what Zoomers are doing, and I think what it was the dating clip that you had about.
Yeah, that's the one I played last show.
Yeah, that if you go on as a dude, then you get maybe.
You can play it again. It's short.
It's a
good clip.
Dating. What was it? Dating app story. It's not short. Okay.
Some of my guy friends gave me permission to make a Hinge account for him. Because I was telling him how easy dating is with dating apps. And he was telling me that it's incredibly difficult. And I was like, Pete, you must be doing something wrong. And he gave me permission to create an account for him and just run the account. I've been a virtual boy for 3 days. And I've never felt this bad about myself. I feel like a freaking loser trying to get these girls to like me. And I'm starting to hate women. Because I'm like, when I say I mean Pete, because that's the account I'm using. Pete's about a 6. But I'm so desperate, I'm liking the 2s and the 3s. And even they won't like me back, Pete, which is a 6. So what level of delusion has entered women's heads? Like, what is going on? It is so difficult dating as a boy. I hate it. I'm on day 3 of being a boy, and I hate women, and I'm more depressed than ever.
All right, so I've gotten some feedback on this particular clip in the conversation we had. The first one is go outside to date. Do not try. You know what? I think most people probably meet their future mate at work. So go to the office. You only have to go twice a week. Go to the office. You might meet somebody you like. Go to some social club, or go to a bar, or go to church, or get outside to meet people. This is not the way to meet people.
Museums.
What is happening on these dating apps is transmaxing. Because my obvious conclusion turns out to be not off base, that this is where a lot of young men, I'm talking 17 to 23, who are indoors, not going outside to date, you know, sitting indoors, they're doing video games, they're a 6, they can't get a 2 to swipe right on them. And then, you know what? People need affection, compassion. Like, maybe if I dress up as a girl, and boom, you're celebrated. You're a TikTok star. You get likes.
This is the most convoluted theory, but it's something I'm not going to argue with too strongly. But yeah, you might be right here. This is a pretty indicting of the culture, if what you're saying is even remotely true.
And remember, we talked about the hypno porn or hypno trans, where these boys get into watching certain type of porn where they whisper in your ear, "You're a girl," you know, that kind of stuff.
No, and the flashing, you got the flashing screens.
I am doing this as a service to parents of young men.
Kick them out of the house.
Kick them out of the house, right. Give them a motorcycle to tinker with, anything. And then this, we were talking about chat roulette. Maybe we should reiterate chat roulette. Chat roulette. You hooked up your little Logitech ball webcam, and you went on chat roulette, and it would switch screens, and you could stop at a certain point. It would switch screens, and there'd be a person, and every fifth screen was some fat naked dude jerking off. So I got a note from Michael. He says, "I'm a Zoomer, and I love our Zoomers, 19 years old, listening to the show. I'd never heard of..."
By the way, Zoomers who listen to this show are sharp.
They're going to run the country. They are the future leaders.
No doubt in my mind.
They are the future leaders of our country.
They have good observational skills. That's the key.
A lot of them are quite conservative, want children. It's encouraging. "I'm a Zoomer, 19. I've never heard of chat roulette." Well, no kidding. "But I know the concept."
There's other things out there nowadays, I think, that are...
Well, here we go. "When I was in my early teens, an app called Omegle..."
Omegle, yeah. Or Megly. I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Of course you have.
"Of course I have.
I hadn't. Made its rounds through my generation." Generation. You could chat with strangers and skip as you desire. When I first discovered it, I was oblivious to the matter of men wanking their weens. A term I had not heard, but will remain with me for the rest of my life. As of 2022, I believe the app was shut down, but the idea yet lives on through another app called Monkey. Yeah, it's nice to know that through the ages and probably to come, everyone who uses these apps will be scarred by the image of a fat and hairy 75-year-old man pressing his piece. Stay sane. All right, Michael, you are an awesome human being. Awesome human being. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courtesy in the morning. To you, the man who put the C in the TDS classic. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John. Where are we doing? John, see you tomorrow. I'm out of control.
Done?
I'm done. Well, I'm...
Hello, in the morning to you, Mr. Man. Current in the morning, ship sea boosting around feet in the air, subs in the water, dames and knights out there.
I'm trying to get my... Here we go. Hey, in the morning to the trolls and the troll room. Here we go. After all that, very disappointing. 2177 on the trollage. I know that's down.
That's down 300.
Yeah. Well, this is
plus, you know, people got they've
Christmas week.
This
Christmas
year,
week. Christmas week.
It's not Christmas week.
Thanksgiving week.
This year, it turns out that people have all bailed out. They started going on their Thanksgiving drive. The cost of gas is down by about a dollar here.
Oh, so it's only $9 a gallon now?
No, it's down to $4.60.
That's pretty low for California. That's not bad.
And so they're all driving off to someplace or other, and they've all left already, and they're going for longer than normal vacations as Thanksgiving holiday.
Because the economy's doing great.
I think that's accounting for our audience shrinkage and donation shrinkage.
Well, they can still listen. It's the internet. You can listen wherever you are.
For some reason, people just disconnect.
Well,
when we do these shows, we work on Thanksgiving, and
Tina's like, why don't you guys just take Thanksgiving off? Why don't you just take Christmas off?
Why?
Well, she was stating it, but she said, well, because our life is dictated by this show. I don't think I've had an actual vacation where I unplugged and didn't work, didn't schlep my rig along in 17 years.
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
You're doing God's work.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. Message received. You are right. So when I say beware of the ways of the world, it is polluting your soul, I am doing God's work. You're correct. A buddy of mine gave me that mark. So the trolls are in the troll room, trollroom.io, and we have a stream.
Yay.
We love Void Zero.
Hey, you know, it could be the Void Zero upgrade that's accounted for the low number.
Oh, a lot of people got kicked off in the beginning.
My theory could be completely wrong. It's got nothing to do with the Thanksgiving at all.
It could just be that the stream was rocky in the beginning. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's people true. Bail out. A lot of people are just finicky. Oh, it doesn't work. I'm going to go do something else.
It's okay because you can listen. It's a podcast. You can listen whenever you want to. But we like doing it live, which is, you know, and we don't just say, oh, I got Thanksgiving dinner. Let's do it really early in the morning, or let's do it later.
Oh, yeah, this is true. We do not fluctuate. We make it like it was, we routinize it. You want to do that because for podcasters out there, you should know that you want to have things the same over and over. It's like a newspaper. They have a formula for the front page, and people expect something to be at a spot on the page, and they look to it. The Wall Street Journal was notorious for having a fabulous front page formula where you'd always go to the one column noting that you're going to read something about something that's exactly the same day after day.
This is also one of Adam's golden podcasting rules, not necessarily for but it pertains to the live show as well. And people who ask me for my hyperlocal giblet about podcasting, which is hyperlocal.noagendanotes.com. The golden rule, always, always, whether you do it once a week, once a month, whatever, twice a week, always release on the same day at approximately the same time. Because, and this is why we don't take vacations. If we skip a show or if the show comes out much later, people, their lives are disrupted. They're waiting for it. My goodness. When we changed from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., people were hyperventilating.
It took about 3 months.
It took quite a while for people. You've ruined my life. My life is scheduled around this. That.
A lot of artists were complaining because, I can't do the art anymore.
Yeah. And then they're very susceptible. Like, I'll find something else. And before you know it, they're listening to Megyn Kelly. So this is why you need to be very consistent at your release schedule. And it's why we are very consistent with our live schedule as well. People are scheduling their lives around it. And
Yes. Well, they expect, I don't think they're, I disagree with that assumption. I don't think they're scared.
I think they expect
something at the same time, and it's a routine. It's not that they're taking their whole lives and scheduling it around. That's why they have to be reminded there's even a show.
Yes. Rule number two, have a newsletter to remind people that there's a show. It's very critical.
Oh, right.
Critical.
That's right. I listen to that critical, show every week.
Critical, critical. So you can go to trollroom.io, and this No Agenda stream is great. Void Zero has graciously kept his chats, his IRC chat server open for all of these years for everybody to enjoy. And of course, we run the No Agenda stream. So lots of live shows there. Talk about a great community. It is No Agenda Nation. It is the No Agenda stream. You can also use a modern podcast app. Highly recommended because there's no deplatforming. If there's a podcast you like, it's not just going to disappear one day because Silicon Valley companies didn't like it. Mainly Spotify, but Apple deplatforms as well. Sometimes just singular episodes. It's very, very annoying. And bonus, you can listen to the live stream in these modern podcast apps. And you'll also get a notification when we send out the bat signal. And 90 seconds after releasing it, these modern podcast apps know about it. All these big companies could do it, but they don't, because they don't care about you. They don't care. They just want you to use an iPhone. That's all they care about. So I'm kind of singling.
Well, that's what you, if you're selling iPhones, that's what you want.
That's what you do. Value for value is how we've been running it. We do this as a service. You'll never see us with a plus bundle or a Patreon or any nonsense like that. We love doing this as a service to humanity. As John just said, we're doing God's work. I am. I don't know who John's working for. I'm doing God's work.
CIA.
Yeah, there you go.
Where's our money?
And we just want you to receive something that's valuable. And if you feel it was valuable, return the favor to us to keep us going. We need time, talent, and definitely need treasure to pay the bills. And we appreciate the time and talent that our artists put into, regardless of how they do it. When you're thinking about it, you're trying to do something, it's appreciated. And we always choose one piece of art that we think is attention getting. It can be funny. It can be, we have no set. Do we have any set reasoning for why we choose the art? I mean, it's not about slickness. It's not about, it's the concept, I guess.
Well, there's two guys that decide.
Yeah.
That's you and me.
Yes.
And it's based on, we each have our taste, and it's based on 100% consensus.
Yes, we have veto power over everything.
Both of us. And so it has to be agreed upon, although some deals are made in the back room every once in a while.
I'll give you this one if you give me the next one. Now, that has happened on an occasion. But it usually goes like this. I don't like it, but okay, you can have it. That's what you will say. You can have this. Go ahead. Go with that one. But I'm marking it down. I get the next one. And then I always fight you on the next one. I'm kind of an Indian giver.
Yeah, you are, as a matter of fact.
Which is racist by itself.
Well, it looks like a Cherokee.
So you can upload to noagendaartgenerator.com. This is where you can make an account. This has been around for a long time. We have leaderboards, all kinds of fun stuff. It's very gamified. From time to time, we'll see an actual Dutch master pop in. They are going through transition themselves. The disappointment is great when someone pops in as a prompt jockey and wins the art. But again, it's the concept. It's not how you make it. It's the concept. And when we looked at this piece from Nico Syme, I don't even know if this was AI. It's very cartoonish. It's like an explosion. And this podcast includes the sound of no agenda. It was, if anything, the lettering Dvorak and Curry reminded me of Dr. Seuss, of the type, the font used for Dr. Seuss books. And it was, I don't know, it was like, yeah, we'll use this one. I don't think there was anything high concept that really struck us.
Well, no, you did like one piece, which was the clip the cord piece, which I really did.
Yeah, Mountain Jay. I liked the clipping the MSN cord. And you said it's the wrong cables. No, it's not. It's literally the cable.
Yeah.
It's a coaxial cable. But here's the cable.
I thought the piece was a little simplistic looking. The cable's not hooked to anything. So what's it cutting off?
Yeah, I guess. Now, the other one I liked, because I thought, we both thought Spinco was cute, but that was Tante Neil. I don't know. It didn't have, it was getting there. I kind of like the Language Popo by Nestworks. I don't know why. It was like kind of cheesecakey. You didn't like it.
No, you brought that up. Which one was that? I don't even see it.
The drawn police officer, policewoman, and she's
The policewoman, yeah.
Language police.
And why didn't I like that?
I don't know.
I think it was the composition for something about the composition I didn't care for.
We both thought Becky was cute.
Yeah,
Becky is.
Yeah, we did both think ego. Becky was cute. That's
your alter ego. By the way, Dame Jen pinged me. She says, thank you for defending me to use a real voice on John's AI pimping mission, which I guess you haven't started yet with Scaramanga. Scaramanga is already sending out his resume. Didn't you see that?
No, I did not see.
Oh, he tagged you on X with some animated GIF of a Becky, believe me, Scaramanga.
Oh, yeah. It's probably stacked, as we used to say in the old days.
Correct. The octocopter. We talked about Attackums, which is Matt Boisvert. We liked it, but it was too small.
Yeah, you couldn't read anything.
But it was very funny because Attackums, it's a medication box, like for actually suppositories. And it's Attackums multi-symptom for use deep inside Russia. Relief from the discomfort of hegemony helps reduce population. He had all the right things going for him.
Excellent, excellent copy. Yeah, yes.
Had a lot going for it, but...
But it's like you can't even read it.
You had to blow it up. You can't read it. Yeah. You have to remember... The small square you see is the biggest you're ever going to see it anywhere.
Yeah, and sometimes it's smaller.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was it. Was there anything else?
No, I think that was it.
Let me see.
We did have one person complain that we talk about the art too much.
Oh, that's not what the email said. The art segment's got to go. That's what it was. It's a little different.
The art segment's gotta go.
Yeah. No. What value is it if we don't critique the art? The artist will never do anything anymore.
They want to at least
get a recognition.
This is a way of encouraging production.
Yeah.
This is like that you do this in a communist country. You get in front and make everyone sit at a meeting, and then you tell them off and tell them to get back to work and do more.
Yes.
Do more work.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You want the bonus clip before we go to the...
Yes, I would love the bonus clip. What is it?
This is a bonus clip that shows you what we do is takes talent. I've always appreciate that. We do cold reads of because of the nature of the spreadsheet and how it comes in. We don't have time to review all the text. No, we don't have time to rehearse.
And we don't want to.
No. And so
that's the key.
I think we do pretty good. Pretty good.
It's passable.
So this is the Cuomo kid over there on the News Nation, Chris Cuomo, and he has a prompter fail.
Oh,
and this is probably the most hilarious prompter fail I've ever heard. And he excoriates the prompter operator. Which is the dumbest thing you can do.
Never do that. That is
prompter
dumb.
People.
That's a crappy job. It's a thankless job.
Prompter people talk to each other. It's not a big group. And they'll be like, yeah, that guy is a dick. And then they will purposely screw. If you are tied to the teleprompter, which Chris Cuomo is, they will mess you up. So this person will always have it in for Chris Cuomo.
I have to stop for a second. My prompter operator is racing through this like they don't want to hear anything that I'm saying right now. Do me a favor. Move the prompter back up. Pretend you're paying attention. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep rolling up. No, no, the other way. The other way. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I know you just weren't paying attention, but just keep going. Keep going. It's fine. It's fine. Okay, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Yes, that's how far off you were. Never mind that. Stop.
What a douchebag.
Wow, that was a good one.
That guy is an absolute douche. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, humiliating the... And by the way... That's one of the lowest paid jobs in a studio.
On the set.
It's a low paid job because you're lucky they have anyone that could even do it at all and that they will do it. And then to excoriate them and to humiliate them at that salary, he owes that guy like his daily salary. What Cuomo makes a day should be, just give it to the prompter guy to say, I'm sorry.
Cuomo should be happy because most local news do their own prompter. You see them with a controller in their left hand and they got to do their own prompter. Have you ever seen that?
No, I never noticed it.
Oh, it happens a lot. Yeah. I think it was just parroting his wife laugh from last night. Keep going. Keep going. A little bit more. No, other direction.
Other direction.
All right. Let's thank the treasure portion of value for value that we receive back. We'd like to thank everybody who comes in over $50 or more, not below $50 for reasons of anonymity, so people can be assured we'll never mess it up. And we always love the sustaining donations, which is any amount, any frequency. You set it up. Set it and forget it is what we hope for. A lot of people say, we always get nice notes. Hey, it's like $5 a month. I got to stop for a while. And we're always like, no problem. They're always really sorry. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. Value for value. If you don't have any value, then it's okay for now. Now, when it comes to executive and associate executive producers, just like Hollywood, we like to reward people who come in with higher amounts with a title, which is useless. Except, you can use it for credits. You can walk around and say, I'm an executive producer of the Neil Jen Show. And you can put it on imdb.com. It might impress somebody. When you're not trying to get a date on a dating app, you can go to a bar and say, I'm an executive producer. If only I could find an unknown, it would be perfect. And you can show them your credits on IMDb. It's just a thought.
Yeah, you make a business card and put it on there.
There you go. So $200 and above, you have an associate executive producer credit is for your lifetime. It never goes away. $300 and above is executive producer. And in both cases, we read your note and we kick it off with anonymous, who made sure to say, I want this to be anonymous, comes in, boom, right off the bat, 1,000, and says, first things first, a de-douching and a jobs karma. Well,
you've been de-douched.
And we will do the jobs karma in a moment. This donation is a year, perhaps more, overdue. I was originally after a PhD in media deconstruction, but at the time I was laid off and the job market has been awful. Oh, it's from the UK. It took a while, but I found some work. We're happy. And the time has come to donate to the best podcast in the universe, become a knight, and take this opportunity to claim a PhD in climate science studies. Hopefully,
no, this is a doctor of education.
Doctor of education in climate science studies. Hopefully this gets you in time for that. So it's actually better. It's a doctor of education. The majority of this donation amounts to the amount I've spent on Spotify over the years. It was fairly close to the Instanite level. Yeah. So I thought, what the hey? So they actually spent a little bit less. Well, you've been on Spotify for a long time. I'll be setting up a... So you gave your money to Taylor Swift. Let me just tell you what happened there. I will be setting up a sustaining / regular donations to match my Spotify subscription soon. Very good idea. I get much more value out of this show and would like it to continue for at least 4 more years. Please knight me as Sir Bumpsy of the Tickly Beard, and we look forward to doing that.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You thought karma.
So this guy's donation came in as a wire transfer to the bank.
Hmm.
through a system I've never even heard of called WISE.
WISE? How do you spell
it? W-I-S-E, yeah.
WISE. Oh, WISE. W-I-S-E. WISE.
W-I-S-E. WISE. WISE. But I would doubt if it's called that. Well, whatever it is, it just comes, shows up.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, there's different kinds of systems out there that do wire transfers, but this one is new to me. And,
Not familiar. Found
it kind of interesting.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't get charged a fee for it incoming.
Nice. Well, he probably paid outgoing. He must have paid outgoing.
I don't know. I mean, all I know is that normally when a wire transfer comes in, we have to pay $20 for it. So it's always annoying when somebody sends us, somebody recently sent us $37 in a wire transfer, and it was like $20 fee to take it.
It's like, don't send us $1 PayPal either. I mean, we basically wind up owing money to PayPal.
It doesn't work.
No.
But yeah, for people who want to know, checks are at the, after a certain level of checks are received, the maximum fee is 15 cents a check for whatever the check is written for. So you know it's 15 cents.
So Void Zero says, well, what if they send $19? Yeah, we basically lose a buck.
If they sent $19 in a wire transfer, we would lose a dollar. Yeah. And we would actually, the bank would charge the 20.
Yeah.
So you would lose a dollar. So don't do that, anybody out there.
Wise.
I mean, it costs $40 to send a wire.
Hold on. Wise.com. Connect your money worldwide. We're looking at it now. Pay and get paid globally. Move money where it matters, from paying your mortgage in euros to sending rupees overseas. Fast, simple, and secure. High speed, low fee transfers.
Well, I never heard of it.
No.
And it did come through, so I guess they were hooked into it. Now, I don't want to belabor this, but people do need to know some things, like the 15 cent charge for a check, as opposed to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, sometimes more for PayPal or Stripe. And then there's other, these free systems that go through, Zelle being one of them that our bank doesn't like. And I can't accept a Zelle, but some people have set it up on their end to get a Zelle to go through. I don't know how they do it, and they won't explain it. But this WISE looks like something.
Check it out. If you send WISE $333.69, the charge is $96 fee.
That's a good deal.
That's a very good deal if it is. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
But again, let's see what I was shocked,
I tell you.
Gambling. Another anonymous from Omaha, Nebraska is next on the list, and he comes in with $333.69. And he says, for John C. which is misspelled, by the way. It's J-O-N.
No,
it's J-O-H-N-S. I think is
S-I-E.
S-I-E.
It's J-A-H-N-S-I-E.
Oh, okay. That's how it's.
Yes.
If you're fishing and the bait ain't working, switch it up. The sad puppy is 87 years old and dog years. Time for a refresh. I didn't put a sad puppy on the newsletter.
No.
But he did attach some alternatives. I've used alternatives, and none of them work as good as the sad puppy.
There's one sad puppy, and we're sticking with him.
I'm in the railroad industry. Where are the tracks you see? I'd love to look it up in our internet map and see what's
internal
moving
map.
Out
internal
there.
Internal map. It's internal map. They've got internal map. Yes.
I'd like to look at it. Okay. Lastly, I don't know what I don't get it.
You must know what rail tracks run in front of your house.
Oh, these are the old, I believe these are the old Southern Pacific tracks that have now owned by Burlington Northern, and they're the ones that run parallel to Highway 80 from about Richmond to Emeryville. Okay. Lastly, Spendrift sparkling water is the best. Lime and lemon are top tier. I'd ship you some, but I am too lazy.
Thanks. Thank you.
And then he has a second part of his note for Adam. As a professional producer, you're great at cleaning up John C's Nat Pops, doorbells, and other sounds. Here is an opinion I bet you disagree with, but I want to share it. I think those imperfections make the show feel authentic, like listeners are part of it, not consuming pure polished corporate crap or content. John's chair squeaks, or dropping of a pop can, or a opening of a pop can is what it really is, or obnoxious borderline profane slurping at his sparkling water briefly pulls the veil back and lets the audience inside, or sucking on a lozenge.
I need to say something this about that. I never clean anything up. We have a noise gate, which is mainly because of the amount of compression we use, that, and you don't use headphones, so my voice will flow back from your speakers into your mic. Very annoying. But I don't try. I do not clean up. In fact, something's been bumping for the last 2.5-3 weeks, and I haven't even said anything about it. I'm like, it's so wonderfully natural. Exactly. Case in point, I don't clean anything up. Especially not what
when something bumps, let me know, because I'd like to know what it is, because I haven't been doing much.
Okay.
It could be the table.
No. I'll let you know when it happens.
Yeah, just one time. One time will be enough. Just say, it bumped.
Okay. All right.
John C. and Adam are taking their time to record yet another holiday show. That's right. We're working on Thursday. Pay your respects while you can. Per my earlier comment, John C. lives near the tracks. He takes one bad step at the wrong time and splat. The show is over. The average turkey weighs 15 pounds. If you're a douchebag, or even if you're not, why not break the ice with a 15-15 donation to break the ice? Karma, no requests. Jingles, WTC7 won't go away.
All right.
WTC7 won't go away. You've got karma.
All right. Long note. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a little long.
Dusan Maletic in Bartlett, Texas, 33333. Oh, yeah, this is also not a shorty. This came in as a typewritten note, which is interesting.
Yeah, it looks like it was actually literally typewritten.
Yes. In the morning, please find attached a 333.33 donation check with a dollar sign after the 333.33, which is it's new, and I find it disturbing. The dollar sign belongs in front of the number.
He's from Serbia, so it must have something to do with...
All right, no, okay. Then the jury will disregard that remark. From Serbia. Wait a minute. He's from Bartlett, Texas. Oh, he's studentica Serbia. He's studying Serbia. Anyway, the donation check is enough to take me to the coveted no agenda sir status, though that word means cheese in my native language. Sir means cheese? May I be granted the title of Sir Dusan the Autocrat of Bartlett and Studentica, living at two places at once. More about me in the bio at maletic.org with a C. As you can see there, I even have the coat of arms for the title that happens when you can trace your direct ancestors to the early 14th century. Two brothers who built Serbian monastery of Visoki Dečani for the king. Hey, can you make us royalty? Can you give us like a dukeship or something?
Ooh, there you go. Now you're talking.
I followed No Agenda since day one, though, sporadically up to the COVID era. COVID and related moved to Texas at the time with gracious encouragement by the Podfather, who answered my email about moving to the Austin area, resulted in more engagement and donations, culminating now with the title. That email paid off.
It did.
I email almost everybody back. Your sanity and humor were invaluable during those times and are always mental health preservers. Why now? Well, I am timing it for my birthday, which falls on Thanksgiving during every year when Friday the 13th falls in October. You can leave calculation to the troll room. Amount is self-explanatory. As for the nighting roundtable, I request Sarma, as opposed to some karma on the side, which is similar to, but much better than Polish golumpki, which is fermented cabbage leaves and layered with smoked pork, and amphora-aged tamayanika would be great to hear a little girl approval of it. Be seeing you, Dusan Maletic in Bartlett, Texas, Studentica, Serbia. So there's an actual place called Studentica. That's interesting. Yes, little girl approval for you, sir.
Yay!
Thank you very much for your courage. We appreciate it.
Interesting. John Whidden, Whiddon, in Kodiak, Alaska. Kodiak. He's in Kodiak.
Mm.
26322 is the first associate executive producer. Has no note, nothing. So we're going to give him a double up, Karma, and he'll be good to go.
You've got Karma.
Eric Levenberg in Los Angeles, California, 227. With this donation, I'm now finally a knight of the round table. I would like to be known as Sir Discohead. Asking for jobs karma, health karma, and relationship karma. Thank you for being the best podcast in the universe.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got karma.
By the way, did you see, it was kind of silly of me. I sent you a text message Saturday. Did you receive my text message?
What did it say?
About our three knights who are in the band Mercy Me, were playing the big venue there in Oakland.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, well, you didn't respond.
I know. Yeah.
Because they were like, please ask if John will come to the gig. We'll let him park with the tour buses. We'll give him all access.
I didn't see it. I would have noticed that.
Oh, man.
Sure you sent it to the right phone number?
Yeah, the one that you always text me with. And anyway, they decided to go to Costco to see. They thought they would have better luck of finding you there than you coming to the gig. Well, that's too bad.
Now, where was the gig?
What's the biggest venue in Oakland?
Coliseum.
Yeah, that's where they were playing.
They're at the Coliseum?
Yeah, they're huge.
Oh, I would have gone if they had sent me a note.
I sent you an email about it a week ago.
Oh, well, what am I supposed to do?
Okay, well. If they ever come through,
I do the best I can. I get 500 emails a day. I lose a few.
That's all right. So anyway, they were sad, but they understood.
Well, next time they're around, I'll be glad to show up. I'll work the back room. I'll pull some cables for them. I'll be part of the roadie crew.
No, you would be standing with the wives and girlfriends, man. You get the side stage. You get to hang out. It's they take care of you.
As long as they have food.
You get full catering with the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time.
Hey, by the way, the Costco here finally got that French wine, Bordeaux quadruple box. Finally.
Oh, it didn't have it? Oh, man. I think we have our third crate by now. $8 a bottle. It's unbelievable. What a tip. What a tip of the day.
Yeah, I was waiting and waiting because when I heard about it, I know these are always good deals, but. Finally, they showed up. I think, what is going on? What is this?
Mm.
Very disappointing. All right, onward.
Yeah.
You're Chet. He's in Sayre. Chet Perry. He's in Sayre, Pennsylvania. 22333. And he says, thank you, John and Adam, for the amazing work you do. First, I'd like to give a shout out to Theodore and Farmer Todd, as they are kin and akin to kin.
Mm.
I am a veteran small business owner specializing commercial auto glass in the southern tier of New York between Elmira, Binghamton, and Ithaca. Binghamton. Anyone interested can contact me at truckglass@proton.me. I hit my brother in the mouth a while ago, but I have the feeling he listens on the sly. So if we could call Amon out as a douchebag.
Douchebag.
If he's listening, it would be appreciated. No jingles, no karma, just love and light.
You got love and light, brother. Anthony Zamarachi is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Row of Ducks, 222.22. John, the memes are glorious. You guys kept me sane through COVID. No Agenda and 4chan are my dual sources of information. I think I'm good. Thanks for the awesome tips. ITM, Wango Tango, 1111. Know nothing. I will deduce myself. Okay. Know nothing. Deduce yourself. It's illegal in most states.
Brian Winning in St. Louis, Missouri, 222.22. Small row of ducks. I was hit in the mouth many years ago. By the boys from Canary Cry.
Yep, Canary Cry Talk Radio. Yep, they're big value.
Earlier
value
this
guys.
Evening, while listening to the show with my 11-year-old daughter, she asked me during the donation segment if I had ever produced a show.
Hi, what a good kid.
I told her no, and she asked if I did not get any value from the show.
Did you not get any value from the show?
I could just
the shame of douchebaggery overwhelmed me, and I had to donate knowing the overwhelming amount of value the show has provided me through the years. Good for her. Please play they're starving in the shadows. They're eating the dogs due to climate change, and that's true. Also, please add me to the birthday list as I complete my 42nd trip around the sun on the 25th. Thank you for your courage, Brian Winning.
Yeah, 41st trip, not 42nd. And the starving in the shadows is not actually an ISO. I mean, it was one of John's clips. I could not find it quick enough because I always scan to see what jingles people need. But we do have the rest.
They're eating the dogs.
Due to climate change.
That's true.
There you go.
It's
good.
Kind of good.
Eli the Coffee Guy, Bensonville, Illinois. Always keeping us caffeinated, 211.24. The next show will be on Thanksgiving. I just want to wish all the No Agenda family a happy Turkey Day and say we are thankful for you two giving us a show this Thursday. It is that type of dedication and consistency that makes this show the best podcast in the universe. I won't be listening live as I'll be busy whipping up a turducken, but I will enjoy the
turducken.
Show. Turducken. Sorry. Yes, a turkey, duck, and chicken. All crammed into each other. Yeah. But I will enjoy the show Friday morning while I'm roasting coffee for our Black Friday sale. But producers can visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use code ITM20 for 20% off your first order. Anytime. Stay caffeinated. Eli the Coffee Guy. P.S. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. All right.
Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado, $200. She wants jobs karma and wants to say, for a winning resume and faster job search, go to imagemakersinc.com. That's Imagemakers Inc. with a K. And work with Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Jobs.
Your go-to jobs. For all your executive resume and job search needs. Sorry. Okay, now you can.
Sorry about that.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got karma.
Matthew Martell from Broomall, Pennsylvania, 210-60. Hey, John and Adam, I'm a knight now. Could we schedule a time for an ad read review, please? We can do it via Zoom if needed. Linda Lewis is sounding a little off. JCD constantly gets tripped up on mine, but somehow Gigawatt Coffee Roasters read smooth as silk. I was punched in the mouth during the late stages of the flu pandemic by a good friend who needs to stop buying Dogecoin and donate the cash to you instead. Get with the program, Mr. Myers. I would like to be dubbed Sir Martell, Peddler of Hardware, from here on forward. Please have an mRNA vaccine and free tomahawk steak and a Rodenbach Grand Cru at the round table. I am not familiar with the Rodenbach Grand Cru. This is champagne, I presume?
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with it either. I don't know everything.
Well, you're the go-to guy on these things. All right.
Yeah, I did. I could have looked it up. I should have looked it up. I didn't look it up.
And he also says, hold the veggies. Two jingles, please. JCD Pop-Tarts. And I think you need Hot Pockets. And due to climate change and sales karma for the self-employed. And as always, visit martellhardware.com. That's Martell with double L, hardware.com. Use coupon Blame the Newsletter for an additional 10% off your order. Thanks and talk soon, says Matt.
Hot Pockets.
You've got karma.
George James in Newark, New Jersey, $200. I've been listening for 2 years now, so I'm overdue with my donation. Keep up the good work.
That was easy.
Yeah, I like it.
Eric from The Chase, Wentzville, Missouri, $200. We're nearing the end here of our associate executive producers. In the morning, please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
Thank you for all the media deconstruction that you do and for keeping my amygdala in check over the years. Karma for all. Cheers from Eric from The Chase.
You've got karma.
And our last donor, which is a super long note, but it's just enough to get, I can get it done, which is the Reiki Princess.
The Reiki Princess, yes.
Reiki, yes. Reiki Princess in Palm Beach, which reminds me, today's the last day of the sumo match. Palm Beach, Florida, and I'll be watching it at 3:30 West Coast time. $200 comes in from Palm Beach.
Yeah, this is.
I see him down in Anamur.
They had the big glass bottom boat meetup.
I, Tim, John, and Adam are proud to present this donation to you both as a token of our gratitude from Ocala, Florida. Remember, our November to Remember meetup should be credited as the switcheroo to the future Sir Grumpy Green Guy on behalf of the Florida No Agenda producers. So that's this donation will be Grumpy Green Guy?
Yep.
Sir Grumpy is ironically not grumpy at all. It's like me. He's an amazing husband and father, and we love having him at the meetups. We also like to wish him an early happy birthday for December 14th. He's on the list. Don't forget to check out all of our amazing upcoming meetups. December 15th in West Palm Beach, January in Miami, February in Orlando. Thank you again for Florida No Agenda producer for helping make all these possible. Connection is protection, and especially thank you to you, John and Adam, Adam and John, for all that you do. We can't wait to continue to help support the show and have Florida be the state with the highest number of dames and knights out there. That's a good idea. Please play You're Gonna Need a Bitcoin in honor of Sir Grumpy and Jobs Karma for several of our Florida producers, the Reiki Princess.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for Jobs.
You've got karma.
Yowza. Thank you to these executive and associate executive producers for episode 1715 of the best podcast in the universe, our pre-Thanksgiving episode. We appreciate it very much. We love the time, the talent, the treasure. It makes us feel valued. That's all. That's it. It makes us feel valued. We appreciate that. Thank you. We'll be thanking more people, $50 and above, in our second segment. Again, anybody can donate any amount. We love the sustaining donations. Go to noagendadonations.com. That's noagendadonations.com and support the show.
Slay.
No, I won't shut up. And thank you for producing episode 1715 of No Agenda.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Hot pockets.
Shut up,
Steve. I would like to play a I have two series of clips of being misled by the media.
Oh no! Say it ain't so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start with this one. This is from Katie Turr Reports.
Katie Turr Report. Oh, Katie Turr.
She's on MSNBC.
Bad. I feel bad for Katie Turr. Her dad became a woman. She's had a rough childhood, Katie Turr.
You know, maybe if she put a little effort into her job, that would help.
Yeah.
I want to play these two clips. She's just discussing, you know, she's a Trump hater.
Mm.
And so she's got these people on. She always has a bunch of panelists. And so you got to play this. Katie Turr on electoral win.
But I want to go to Cornell on this, because part of why Donald Trump and his allies say that they're entitled to picks like this is that he's got a mandate. I mean, I had Byron Donalds on just the other day saying Donald Trump can have whomever he wants because the voters gave him that power. And then he told me that it was the biggest electoral win since Ronald Reagan. Does he have that mandate? Was it the biggest electoral win since Ronald Reagan?
Okay.
What does it take to look it up?
I guess they don't have any more producers over at MSNBC. They're starting the firing early.
It takes 2 seconds to look it up. Was it the biggest electoral win? And what we're talking about here, electoral votes or the electoral college
yes.
votes.
Yes.
It's the biggest since Ronald Reagan. I'll give you some examples here. And this is according to archives.gov, because the number seems to change here and there. But it's still pretty much this. Trump got 312 to Harris's 226. That's the most since Reagan.
All right.
In between, we had Biden, who won the last time, with 306 to 232. So Trump beat that. And then before that, it was Trump had 304 to Clinton's 227.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the biggest since Reagan, which is way up there. It's, I think it was 500 or something. And...
Well, that was easy to look up.
It was very easy to look up, and it's all over the place. Wiki page has all of them.
Hold on. Yes? Katie Turr wants to know if you can produce for her.
Yeah. So Katie Turr can't look it up, or she can't have somebody look it up, or she thinks it's some sort of a mystery. So she asks this Cornell guy, who's the MSNBC political analyst. That's what he's, a black guy with white hair.
Oh, that's Cornell. Yeah. Isn't that Cornell West?
No, no. Cornell West is a, that doesn't have white hair.
This is the guy who hates everybody.
This is the guy who hates everybody and takes credit for Obama winning the presidency in 2008.
Okay. All right. Groovy. Yes.
So this guy's now, he's also dubbed as the MSNBC political analyst. That's the title he had. I'm going to write a column on this. This is so egregious.
An oasis.
So, an oasis. The oasis. And so she asks him, because she can't look it up, and she's not, I guess the producers can't tell her what the numbers are, but she's actually baffled. Now, I believe that she's insincere. I don't believe that she doesn't know this, or she's so lazy she can't. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, was it the biggest since Reagan? So she throws it to this guy, and here's what we get.
Does he have that mandate? Was it the biggest electoral win since Ronald Reagan?
Oh, well, I know we're in a reality where facts apparently don't matter, but no, it wasn't even close. In fact, you know, if you look at the raw vote, he got, if you look at the raw vote from 2020, he's still off of what Biden got by a good long ways in 2020.
Did he even understand? I don't think he understood the question. Electoral votes.
Yeah, an electoral vote. And the guy jumps right to popular vote and says, no, and this is a warped reality, he says at the beginning of his little spiel.
He says raw votes. Lies. He also says the raw vote, which I find entertaining.
Yeah, the raw vote. So we have what I considered an egregious example of the disingenuous productions at MSNBC. And Katie Turr should be ashamed of herself. This is a disgusting display of stupidity or a disingenuous insincerity. One of the two.
I'll take, what were the options again?
You're going to have to make me repeat it.
I like disgusting display of stupidity. I'll take that for 500.
Okay. So now the other example of being misled. This is not done as disingenuous. This is just like misleading, at least to me. But they did clear it up.
Yeah.
So they have a big deal going on in England. They've gotten King Richard's voice down because they found a skeleton of King Richard III.
You know, there's something going on. There's Netflix documentaries. There's this movie about the lady who tried to find. There's something. What is up with King Richard? Everything's about King Richard. Why is he trending?
I have no idea. Not your man. He is trending.
He's trending. But, King Richard is trending.
But let's play this route. This is King Richard, and I wrote down shit report on NPR.
Yes, correct.
The team in the UK says it's approximated King Richard III's voice with 90% accuracy. NPR's Catherine Fink has more.
It all started 12 years ago when Richard III's skeleton was found underneath a parking lot in England. Turns out a person's skeleton can tell us a lot about what they sounded like.
We can predict the likely pitch range of a voice from a skeleton.
Vocal coach Yvonne Morley Chisholm assembled a team of doctors, linguists, actors, and forensic psychologists to recreate Richard III's voice. It's a tall order for someone who's been dead for over five centuries. But they found clues everywhere. His upbringing, his spelling, even his scoliosis. And now, a digital avatar is on display in England, where you can hear the king in his own words and his own voice, or something close to it.
How come some of your clips are off balance?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
There was something amiss.
All right. This is bull crap.
Well, here's what... So I listened to this, but I did listen carefully enough. The second two clips will explain it.
Mm.
But it sounds to me, as the way they're presenting it, they dug up this guy's body who was buried under a parking lot for some unknown reason, King Richard III, and they took a look at his skeleton and look at his vocal cords, and they could make, they, and I was under the impression that some AI came into play. and it reproduces voice perfectly. And now it's an exhibit at the museum. And they, of course, they don't give an example, but they do later in the report, in the secondary report that came later. And so then I find out I've been completely misled. Okay, here we go with part two.
Eventually, the signs pointed to a specific region, northern England. They discovered Richard III likely had a medieval Yorkshire accent, a dialect that set him apart from the typical upper-class tones of his successors.
The modern Yorkshire, the sun is shining. He would say, the sun is sheening.
So what do you do when you have all of these clues about a dead king's voice and you want people to hear it? You put out a casting call.
For 10 years, I was looking for a man with a face with the right proportions to the reconstruction of King Richard's face. And it's amazing. We only found him this year.
That actor studied up. He learned everything about Richard III's personality and life experiences and geared up for an unusual kind of performance. Because the audience would not see his face, but Richard III's.
The clarity and charity of the sun's light is so great that when it is poured on the other heavenly bodies, the sun sheens with no less light and splendor.
That's a digital avatar of Richard III reciting a real address from his reign as king. It's currently on display at York Theatre Royal in England, and the team behind it believes the voice is 90% accurate.
They got Frank Caliendo to come and do an imitation of some guy's voice. They don't know. That guy could have been a stutterer for all we know. This is bull crap.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
I think there may be a final clip. Yeah, it's a short, I guess.
Morley Chisholm says the public response has been overwhelming.
I was amazed when I walked into the lobby area. People were crying. They were weeping and saying, this is so moving.
She says it's also been an opportunity for the public and for herself to learn about the real Richard III, rather than the one depicted in the Shakespearean play.
Our vocal communication, we can tell a bunch of things about them. And I think it's been incredibly important to allow this to reconsider Richard's words in his pronunciation, driven by his personality, how he chose to communicate.
As for what's next, Morley Chisholm and the rest of her team have gotten a lot of requests for more voices.
People are keen for Robert the Bruce. They're keen for Mary, Queen of Scots, for the poet Keats, Johann Sebastian Bach.
For now, Richard III will live on in York, where you'll be able to hear him through his own words as best as we can recreate them today.
What a crock.
NPR, man, what are they doing? I mean, that's, if someone came to me with a podcast proposal, I'd be like, no. No, we do actually, we do actually have some audio of what they think King Richard sounded like. I happen to have that here.
Okay, you've got to hear this one. Today's deep dive is dot unique.
Sorry. The guy should have started. Would have been better. Well, that was...
it was a deep dive.
That was a very enlightening. Thank you. The conclusion, NPR is full of crap. Okay. We need to just discuss briefly, because there's some funny sound bites, this International Criminal Court warrant, which is out for both Bibi Netanyahu and for his war guy, his war minister.
Yes, buddy. Can I ask you a question before we begin this? Because I don't have any clips on it, but I want to ask you a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the ICC and the ICJ?
The ICJ is it not affiliated with the ICC? I believe the ICJ is connected to the Human Rights Organization Court something. I don't think it's part of the ICC. I could be wrong.
I don't think it is either, but there's two of them. There's the ICC, and they're going out and arresting people, and there's the ICJ, the International Court of Justice. I think it's also in The Hague, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they're both in The Hague, yep.
They're both there, right next to each other, competing. What is the point of having these two organizations like that?
It's a jobs...
You must know. You're from Holland.
Yes, I do. It's a jobs program for judges.
Okay.
It's complete nonsense. The United States does not recognize it. And the reason why becomes very obvious in these clips from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
The Jewish state is under siege, and we live in an upside down world.
This is Lindsey Graham, Lindy Hop, Lady G.
Where the Prime Minister of Israel and the Defense Minister of Israel are being prosecuted by a court in Belgium.
Oh, Lindsey. Oh, so close, Lindsey. how can this guy who's out there, who, by the way, would probably be subject to a warrant from the ICC himself for his work in Ukraine eventually, how can he think that it's in Belgium? We just discussed it, Lindsay. It's in The Hague, not in Belgium.
...of Israel and the defense minister of Israel are being prosecuted by a court in Belgium.
An all-out rejection from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. He denounced the arrest warrant issued earlier this week for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his former defense minister. It also included a Hamas military leader. Graham doubled down on his defense by calling out Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for this comment made soon after the ICC's announcement.
We stand up for international law, and we will abide by all the regulations and rulings of the international courts.
President Joe Biden has called the warrant outrageous. Adding fuel to that, Graham fired off this warning for Canada.
We should crush your economy because we're next. You're going to have to pick the rogue ICC versus America.
The U.S. is not a signature.
Can you stop for just a second?
Yes, yes, I can.
I just as a point, ICC Belgium is the International Chamber of Commerce.
he did a quick Wikipedia search, like, oh, okay, it's in Belgium. What a tool.
What a tool.
Canada.
We should crush your economy because we're next. You're going to have to pick the rogue ICC versus America.
The U.S. is not a signatory of the ICC, but a spokesperson for the international body, Fadi El Abdallah, is calling on the 124 countries that are, which include Canada, to enforce the arrest warrant.
Canada.
The ICC alleges that Israel committed war crimes in Gaza by using starvation and systematic attacks on civilians as part of its war against Hamas.
The next steps after an arrest warrant is issued is seeking the cooperation of the states.
Now, didn't the ICC also put out a warrant for Bush and Cheney and others?
I think they were talking about it, but they never put the hammer down on it. I think it was just discussed.
I think Kissinger, I guess they never
went. I think it was just discussed. They were threatening. They were shaking their fists, but they never had the guts to do it.
Pussies. Let me just see. Let me see. Cheney. No, I don't have anything. All right, here's a second clip.
Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban is trying to get in the way of that by being the first country in the EU, all of whom are members of the court, to defy the ICC's orders.
Uh-oh.
Orban is inviting Netanyahu to his country and vowing to protect him.
He will be held in
contempt.
It's a trap.
Hát itt nincsen más választás, hanem...
Orban accused the ICC of interfering in an ongoing political conflict for political aims. This is wrong in itself, he said, adding that it completely discredits international law. Italy, Germany, France, and Ireland are among the European countries that have signaled it will abide by the order. The EU's top diplomat, Joseph Borrell, said member nations don't have a choice.
The members, the states who signed the Rome Convention, are obliged to implement the decision of the court. It's not optional.
The warrant puts the ICC in uncharted territory. It's the first time the court has called for the arrest of a sitting head of government. That's a major Western ally.
Oh, it is the first time. Hey, it's not an option, people. It is not an option. I want to do a little bit of COP29 as it winds up. I see you have three clips as well, so I will play two, you will play three, and I'll wrap it up. And we'll be done with it because we got to be done with it. This is another group of people who are flipping out over Trump because they know he's going to withdraw again. Withdraw again from the Paris Accord and pull the plug. And as we all know, he is a staunch climate change denier.
In Azerbaijan, a chaotic and confusing COP29 has come to a close. The UN climate summit went way into overtime and at one point appeared close to failure.
Failure.
At the heart of the dispute is money, specifically how much rich countries, including ours,
all the meeting was about.
Oh, it's only about money. Yes. And by the way, if they say, Development Bank, that means IMF, World Bank, which is our money.
To developing countries to help them adapt to climate change.
Susan, it was a real heated day of negotiations, but a final deal has finally been reached. Can you tell us how it all went down?
Indeed, it was an undeniable, chaotic, and confusing day. It's now early hours of the morning, Baku time. But Baku. Yes, the last draft was adopted by thousands of delegates near comatose, I might say, in a huge meeting room. That doesn't mean they're happy. This was a compromise pushed through rather than let these talks end in failure. It does up the amount that developed countries must direct to developing countries suffering the worst effects of climate change. It's now at least $300 billion by 2035, but it is far less than many of the developing countries advocated for.
What were some of the biggest sticking points with that deal?
Money.
Well, the amount, as I've mentioned, what kind of funding, grants or loans, public or private, there will be disappointment. The money is not more publicly funded. Also, who pays in? Rich developed countries are obligated, but many argued China and other big emitting countries should also. But in the UN framework, for example, China is a developing country and its contributions will remain voluntary.
So I don't have to participate now. And I love what you're not going to give it to us. You're going to only lend it to us. Yeah, that's what we do with you.
And already, Susan, we are seeing some countries in, like Cuba and India, speaking out against this final deal. How far is this from what they were asking
Cuba?
For?
Well, they wanted much more money over a shorter period of time. But I'm telling you, you can really hear the resentment and opposition on the floor of the plenary, as it's called.
You can hear the resentment from podcasters, lady.
Nigeria called it an insult. India called it a mirage and said they do not accept this accord. The spirit of these talks, I might add, is damaged as well. The COP presidency, many say, pushed through this proposal too late, too little, just to close the climate conference with something, even though it's seen as flawed. And Canada also said on the plenary floor that it's extremely disappointed in the accord overall and wanted some stronger text. The Secretary General of the United Nations put out a statement today saying the commitment must become cash and ensure that this money does get quickly to the developing countries.
In a paper bag.
You know, just hours ago, it did seem like this conference would fall apart, but there is an agreement. It will and can be built on. Although I think COP29, many would agree, hosted by Azerbaijan, has been a difficult, fractious set of climate talks. And this may threaten the solidarity of the whole UN process, how this transpired here. And perhaps we'll see widen a gap between rich and poor countries.
So Trump doesn't even have to do anything. It's going to fall apart by itself. And I mean, because you have, I mean, I had more clips, but you have three, so I want to have you play those. I have a lot of the delegates from all these countries going, this is not fair. They made us sit here for hours. We're tired. We're wiped out. You know, they ground these people. They're in Baku.
Poor babies had to sit down and listen to a bunch of speakers.
The Baku is like Casablanca, man. It's beautiful. It's oil heaven. It's hookers and blow everywhere. That's why they were strung out. All right. Your clips, if you think they're still useful.
Yeah, I think they're okay. This is basically the same thing. Well, this is done from this NPR, COP29 BS.
The world has reached a new agreement on how to help pay for the impacts of climate change. Annual negotiations just wrapped up in Azerbaijan, and they went well into overtime with some countries walking out in protest. Joining me now with more on what they decided is Lauren Sommer from NPR's Climate Desk. Hey there.
Hi, Scott.
So two weeks of negotiations. What have been the big sticking point?
So this summit has been all about the money. The debate has been over the dollar amount that richer countries will send to developing countries that have contributed the least to climate change.
God bless President Trump, man. Stop these people from stealing from us for nonsense. They're not going to do anything for climate change. It's all
no. This is
delegates.
A money laundering racket.
Yes,
and that's where things like reducing their carbon
money
emissions,
laundering racket. This is the
projects
to get. Hold on, $300 billion. You put it in the system. Who knows where it goes? It's that you can't do money
research,
laundering.
Research. It's going to research. A lot of it.
It just goes into a bunch of people's pockets. It doesn't accomplish anything. And it's $300 billion is the entire net worth of Elon Musk goes into the pockets of a bunch of criminals. That's the way I see
it.
Yes. Least to climate change. And that's where things like reducing their carbon emissions through renewable energy projects or preparing for the impacts of climate-related disasters like more intense storms. This is known as climate finance. And developing countries are pushing for a lot more than richer countries.
We need to push for some more podcast finance. That's what I'm for. This climate finance is not doing it for me. And by the way, lady, at NPR, it's finance.
Finance. And developing countries are pushing for a lot more than richer countries were willing to deliver.
What was the main argument they were making as they tried to get that point home?
Yeah, so lower-income countries are seeing some of the worst impacts from climate change, you know, flooding and hurricanes and droughts that are getting worse. They've done little to cause that because their carbon emissions are low. It's really the wealthier countries that are responsible for most of the emissions. Yeah. So developing countries say they're owed for all those damages. Here's how Sierra Leone's climate minister, Jiwo Abdoulaye, described it at the talks.
These numbers are not just abstract. They affect our people on a daily basis.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, they're affecting everybody. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? These small countries, which are run by tyrants usually, are just trying to get some free money for their pockets. This is so obvious to me.
Initially, you know, it was to drive the new economy, and people were there, you know, to get some dough for, you know, windmills and solar farms and all that stuff. And they've even given up. I saw the budget. It's research and development is still the top. More studies to prove this thing.
Yeah.
Clip two.
The floods, the droughts affect the lives of our people.
Due to climate change.
Floods, the droughts affect the lives of our people. Our people are paying for this climate crisis already with their lives and their livelihoods.
Blood.
Abdoulaye was actually one of the ministers who walked out on negotiations for a bit today, along with other African countries and small island states, because it was over the dollar amount the richer countries were offering.
Okay, so what was the final agreement that was just agreed to?
Yeah, so the agreement is for developed countries like the U.S. and the European Union to hit $300 billion per year in climate finance by 2035. And then there's a larger goal to ramp that up to $1.3 trillion per year. The U.S. wanted to see countries like China be official contributors to that as well, but China wanted to keep its contributions voluntary. And that $300 billion is lower than many developing countries wanted to see.
Okay, but you're talking about the U.S. there, and that's, of course, the Biden administration. President-elect Trump takes office in January. So given that, what are the chances the U.S. follows through on that pledge for climate funding?
Yeah, it's a really big question. It's unclear. Because if you remember, really when Trump was president, he pulled the U.S. out of the major climate agreement. That's the Paris Agreement. He has not wanted the U.S. to be part of this in the past. This year, the Biden administration says it supplied $11 billion. But, you know, even if Trump undoes the U.S. commitment, some funding could continue, like from the World Bank, which the U.S. contributes to.
The U.S. election happened right before these talks began. I'm curious, how much did that cast a shadow over negotiations, especially given that the world is already behind on climate change?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt it had a major impact. You know, at the talks, the Biden administration was trying to make clear that the shift to renewable energy in the U.S. is already underway and it's going to keep going.
You know, the Kurt Dvorak Consulting Group needs to help these people, particularly NPR, or someone needs to do something. They need a new angle. You know, just this, oh, extreme weather events. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And it's just, oh, another flood. They've overdone it. They've overshot the mark. They need something else to get people motivated to spend this money. I just don't understand why they, I mean, they're just verbal diarrhea. The same thing over and over again. Ad nauseum.
What's making it worse is these lesser developed countries, third world, are demanding free money.
Yeah, those.
And they're doing it in a very obnoxious way.
Well, it's because there was a lot of promises. You see, everyone got promised, like, hey, man, let me build my mansion over here, you know, to escape. And we'll take care. We'll make you whole at COP29. Don't worry. I can just see it. I can just see it. You're right. This is so corrupt. Who's paying for these cops? This is no small conference.
No, it costs money. The overhead of the conference itself has got to be
millions.
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 Yeah, millions.
Yeah. All right. Last clip. Thank Lord.
Okay.
Here's what U.S. climate envoy John Podesta said to other countries.
Here's your money laundering guy.
This is not the end of our fight for a cleaner, safer planet. Facts are still facts. Science is still science. The fight is bigger than one election, one political cycle in one country.
The U.S. has been cutting its carbon emissions in part because of the Biden administration's flagship climate law. That's the Inflation Reduction Act. And, you know, there are parts of that are popular, right? Consumer tax credits for electric cars and heat pumps. Many of the clean energy manufacturing projects, you know, big plants have gone into Republican districts. So there is a chance that some of these policies will survive the new administration. But, you know, the big question is still to come, right? Mm-hmm. Countries need to cut their emissions. We're behind on doing that, right? The Earth is going to warm up more than the goal for the Paris Agreement. All countries are supposed to announce new pledges to cut their emissions by February, and that's to keep the planet from that even worse impact level of climate change. The Biden administration says it still plans to release its new pledge, even as it's heading out the door, and that's going to be a huge focus of climate negotiations next year, mm-hmm. which is really cutting emissions.
Cutting emissions. You know, here's another problem with this whole gambit. I mean, I don't understand why they don't figure this out. Nobody sees the benefit. You know, it's like, you know, the Tesla for a while, it's like, I get a kind of a cool car. Now everyone sees, well, there's no resale value. You know, I got to put a generator in the trunk to charge it if I run out. You know, again, they have a jerry can of gas. Instead of a nice HVAC system, I got a heat pump.
Which doesn't work in really cold weather.
No, my toilet doesn't flush well. My shower is limited. You know, it's not improving our life. And we've been hearing this since the 70s that we're all going to die.
No, 60s,
yeah, we're all going to die. You got to deliver. You got to deliver on something. Either you make like really something happen, which it's just not. I don't know.
It's a grift.
It is a grift. And it's so obvious and everybody sees it and we're sick of it.
Not everybody sees it. Most people don't see it.
True. People who see it don't care. Even the greenies, they don't really care. Now, what I did is I went to the IMF to see what they really had to say, because the IMF, these are the real bad guys. These are the guys who get the loan. You know, it's not a grant. No, we're going to lend you the money, this $300 billion a year. And then we got you by the nuts. And then you will do whatever we tell you to do. This is what happened to Greece, just to pull it into Western perspective. This has been going on throughout the undeveloped world for ages. So I don't know, but these people, they just get money from all these countries and they go, oh, it makes some charts and it's really important. These are the money people. And so they're out there trying to get the money. They have this new young guy. He looks like a Gen Zer, might be a very young millennial, but probably Gen Z. And he, they released a video about this, and surprise, surprise, not only do we have a model for climate change, but they have a model for the money.
Well, there are many ways to allocate emissions cuts across countries, but here we provide an illustration. This uses a model that we built with the World Bank called the Climate Policy Assessment Tool, and it's based on a methodology that we developed here at the IMF. In our illustrative approach, all countries reduce emissions in proportion to their income. Most countries would need to raise their 2030 emissions targets, but developed countries would continue to cut emissions faster than developing countries. So where are we currently? Well, in this analysis, we find very few major economies have 2030 targets that are aligned with 2 degrees, and currently no major economy is aligned with 1.5. That said, high-income countries have collectively become much more ambitious since 2015, while upper middle-income countries as a whole are further behind. We think countries could consider forming climate clubs to complement the Paris Agreement.
Climate clubs, John. climate clubs. Oh, this is interesting.
Smaller groups of major emitting countries could agree to cut emissions through specific policies like minimum carbon prices, or what we call an international carbon price floor. On climate finance, developed countries are currently mobilizing about $100 billion per year to developing countries, and will soon set a new target for 2025 and beyond. We think this new target should be based on the needs of developing countries, and in the collaborative spirit of the Paris Agreement, could be framed as a joint target between developed and developing countries.
You know, kid, I should put you over my knee and spank you. So in this second short clip, he explains what is really needed to reduce carbon, because we're out of control. It's not working. It's not slowing down. We're never going to get to the magic number of 1.5 degrees Celsius. We've got to tighten it up. We've got to really do things to people, because when you hear the comparison he makes, which is a little dubious and frightening to a degree, to get to the 7% reduction in carbon pollution, emissions, whatever, you'll think we're never going to do this unless you go really authoritarian on us.
So how are we doing?
By the way, shoot the production manager. How are we doing? Cue piano.
So how are we doing? Well, unfortunately, we are not going nearly fast enough. Since 2020, emissions have continued to rise. So now, to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees, we need to cut emissions by 50% below 2019 levels in the next 5 years. But globally, current country targets would only achieve about a 12% cut in emissions. So this means we need to go 4 times faster in the remainder of this decade. We find that if 2030 targets remain as they are, then the world would face a damaging emissions cliff edge. This would require drastic cuts in emissions, equivalent to about 7% each and every year out to 2040. Now, to put that into perspective, the unprecedented coronavirus pandemic lockdowns cut global carbon emissions by just 6% in 2020. Maintaining an even higher rate of emissions cutting year after year could be politically, economically, and technically infeasible.
So, knowing these people are insane, he's saying we need to cut by 7% a year. To put that into perspective, the unprecedented COVID lockdowns only resulted in 6% reduction. I mean, is a logical conclusion that they're thinking about climate lockdowns?
Well, you've been saying that for a while.
That's the conclusion I have to draw from this.
Yeah, well, they're not going to get away with it.
No, they're not. I have a tech update which regards Google.
Well, you probably know the browser, because even if you're one of those people that doesn't switch from the default browser when you get a new computer, you will have heard of it. 3.5 billion people around the world use it. That's more than 2/3 of internet users.
And now, this actually gloms onto our previous conversation about the search function, them having search. But this guy put some truth into this report, which I thought was worth discussing for a second.
You don't use Chrome or Safari. You probably use a browser built on Chromium. That's an open source code base based on Chrome, which Google releases to the public. Even Edge, the third most popular browser made by Microsoft, is a Chromium browser. The DOJ has asked the federal judge Amit Mehta to order Google to sell Chrome, which is a crucial pillar of its business, even though it's free of charge. Why? Because it's how billions of people make their way onto Google search. Yes, the real monopoly, the U.S. justice system has ruled, lies in Google's 90% market domination of online search. And search means data, which means money. So if you type into Chrome's search bar to search for something, Google collects all sorts of data on you and uses this to sell advertising. In fact, the only place this is a little bit different is here in the EU, where since an antitrust ruling 6 years ago, Chrome has offered a choice of search engines when you install it. This has supposedly been refined since the Digital Markets Act came into effect a couple of years ago. But let's be frank, it's not made a jot of difference to Google's dominance of search. Its market share has actually increased over the last few years. Turns out it's not that easy to convince people to use another search engine when the phrase Google it has become a verb.
You know, I think that Chrome, and of course, the Edge browser is built on Chrome. I think these are just spy devices. It goes beyond search. It goes.
Yeah, we have one of our producers sent us a note, pretty much, and he's kind of a spooky producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent us a note saying the whole thing's about spying.
Yeah, it is. It's just spying. You know, the Google is also, Chrome OS, of course, would also be a problem, which they've rolled out all over the schools and everything to spy on your kids.
Yeah.
And they want to put Chrome OS into Android, which would be very interesting if they have to separate from Chrome. And then what does that mean? Does someone else then run Chrome? Some other
CIA.
All right. I want to wrap it up today with a little bit of health news. Make America healthy again. RFKJ. He's going to do it if we can protect him all the way through the process.
If he can get in. Now we're starting to hear negative concepts that they're, well, you know, of course, that's part of the TDS.
Yes.
New TDS. New TDS.
Yeah. New, of course. Yeah. Here is CNN discrediting him.
Fruit Loops. The Wall Street Journal reporting that the company that makes the colorful cereal has, quote, been under fire for months over its use of artificial food dyes. Now, one of the company's highest profile critics, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has been tapped to become the country's top health official and has vowed to target artificial dyes in cereal that he says contribute to widespread health problems, particularly in children. Kennedy calling out the manufacturer earlier this month.
There are entire departments, like the nutrition departments at FDA, that have to go, that are not doing their job. They're not protecting our kids. Why do we have Fruit Loops in this country that have 18 or 19 ingredients, and you go to Canada and it's got two or three?
All right, our panel is back. Anyone a Fruit Loops fan? Did you grow up on Fruit Loops?
Of course.
Yeah.
Kellogg's cereal.
Of course. Big advertiser, Kellogg's cereal. I'm not going to discredit them.
Oh, Sugar Smacks and all
this. I mean, look, Kennedy's not wrong about this. This journal story, I don't know if we have it produced, but like when you look at the difference between American Fruit Loops and right there, right here, the blue bowl, and then the Canadian ones are right here. I mean, like it's obvious, right, that we put a lot more, I mean, RFK Jr. probably calls it crap in the cereal.
What is it? A lot more. Shh, 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 shh. Don't say chemicals. Shh.
The company says, well, no, that's not the case. But I mean, Dana, like, maybe there's a point.
I don't know that we've ever had a nominee for a chemist that's this polarizing and not in a hot way, right? I mean, like, either Robert Kennedy is a Fruit Loop or he's going to fix Fruit Loops.
That was professionally written. Professionally written.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is. Thank you for pointing that out. Professional. Is Marty moonlighting again?
Marty would come up with that guy, for sure.
But the Big Pharma is very concerned about RFKJ. And he's already, I mean, and this is a trend. This is another thing that Gen Zers, I know so many people who have not had their children vaccinated at all from birth. Because, you know, within 3 hours, they want to give your child a hepatitis B vaccine.
Yeah, why? They're going to have sex?
Which is a sexually transmitted disease.
And I thought, just an anecdote. So when hepatitis B, this is years ago, this is 30 years ago, when the hepatitis B vaccine first came out, I had this doctor, kind of an anti-vaxxer. He's the one who got me on vitamin D instead of getting me off of flu shots.
Mm.
And so I said, should I get a hepatitis B vaccine? I just said this because it just came out. They were promoting it. He says, why? You're going to work with blood?
And you went, what?
And then as far as he was concerned, there is no reason in the world that any normal person should ever get a hepatitis B vaccine.
So I think this is also a carefully orchestrated piece on CBS. Dr. John LaPook is here.
LaPook.
And instead of saying people don't want vaccines, like I don't want my kid to have vaccines, which ones? They have questions. They want honest answers. They bring in the hesitancy, vaccine hesitancy. And I think they even have a mother who says, well, I'm vaccine hesitant. bull crap. You're a shill.
Robert, nobody says that.
No, of course not. Nobody says it.
Robert Kennedy Jr. has been an outspoken critic of vaccines.
Nora.
Despite overwhelming evidence that vaccines are safe and effective at preventing disease. Now, if confirmed as Secretary of Health and Human Services, public health experts say Kennedy could influence vaccine policy. We get more now from CBS's chief medical correspondent, Dr. John LaPook.
Lauren Maresca says she's had concerns over vaccinating her children.
Anything I give my child, I always question. I get a little anxious.
When 11-year-old Gio was an infant, he got his childhood vaccines right on schedule.
Always had a reaction every single time. Hives, rash.
I started to get hesitancy in saying, all right, can we space this?
I started to get hesitancy, John. Is that?
This is scripted.
Every single time, hives, rash.
I started to get hesitancy in saying, all right, can we space these out? And the doctor kind of made me feel like you're being dramatic, but okay.
After scouring the internet for information, the New York mom hit pause on additional shots for Gio and 3-year-old Julina. Then the family's pediatrician issued an ultimatum.
You have to take all the vaccines or you're out of the practice.
Yeah, here we go, baby.
Before you continue with this clip, it turns out, and there's a lot of discussion on this, maybe you're going into it, that these pediatricians are vaccine factories.
Yeah, 40.
That's all they do. They don't get they get bonuses for having everyone vaccinated.
Careful. That's not, don't say it that way because you'll get a million emails. They don't get bonuses, but it is up to 40% of their income. It's just the business. It's not like they get extra for pushing extra. Their whole business model is built on it. I don't think they get extra. In fact, I'm quite sure they don't get extra.
Okay. I'm putting it in incorrectly.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole thing's a scam. It's just from the get-go.
It's a scam, yes.
It's a grift.
It's a grift. Here we go, part two.
Public health officials stress vaccines are safe and effective, and the benefits far outweigh the risks. But a recent survey found at least 12% of children have a vaccine-hesitant parent.
I think it's important to, you know, kind of understand the thought process of why a patient is refusing a vaccination.
New York City pediatrician Dr. Ayala Wegman says in recent years, she's been navigating increased vaccine skepticism.
You hear some parents say, why do we have to have so many vaccines so soon?
The reason why we present infants with immunizations early on in their life is because their immune system is really susceptible to not only viral but bacterial infections.
45 states permit non-medical exemptions, and kindergarten vaccination rates have fallen to 93%, below the 95% target for herd immunity. That increases risk for the vulnerable, like those who are immunocompromised or too young to be vaccinated.
Now, this is very interesting because I got a lot of people emailing me, as usual, saying, you don't understand how vaccines work. And one of the most prevalent arguments is, vaccines activate your immune system so that you then become, you know, immune. But the virus, even if you're vaccinated, the virus enters your system. And so if you're a child and around an unvaccinated child, you get a full load and then you can actually still get sick because the vaccine is so safe and effective. I mean, people try to explain this to me and I'm like, no, the whole point is, Your immune system is immune. You're immune from it. You are sterilized.
You have an immune system to begin with.
Yes, thank you. Which you should not be tinkering with when you're 3 hours old. I'm not a doctor, but I'm not stupid. All right.
Does everybody understand that when they're quote unquote rolling the dice for their own child, they're actually rolling the dice for other children around them who are not immunized?
Most people, when they come to the office, they're really concerned, most importantly, about their precious little one. And so it becomes really important for us as doctors to communicate the safety and the efficacy of these vaccines.
Gio was begging me, he wants to go to school. He doesn't want to be kicked out.
Faced with school vaccine mandates, the Marescas reluctantly vaccinated their son.
Wait, stop again. Stop. What kid ever said that in their lives, especially in the younger age?
The kid who is scripted.
I want to go to school. No kids ever said, nobody ever said ever.
Well, this is the message. The message is, don't get your kids not vaccinated, you're getting kicked out of school. That's the message here from Dr. John.
Which contradicts what the Department of Education wants, because they get paid so much from the government to have kids in school. So there's mixed messaging going on here. They don't know what to do.
Gio was begging me. He wants to go to school. He doesn't want to be kicked out.
Faced with school vaccine mandates, the Moreskas reluctantly vaccinated their son, but are still looking for empathy.
Don't be dismissive with us. Don't patronize us. Don't make us feel stupid.
It's critical that you are honest with them, that you frame the discussion with facts.
Facts.
And a willingness to listen.
Yeah, so we're going to give you facts, and you need a willingness to listen. I have two more short clips, but first, a quick note from one of our producers who heard this conversation on the last episode where I said the ER doctor, he predicts that there could be pediatricians who might actually kill themselves once they find out how much harm they've done to children with this 76 vaccine schedule. And she says, Andrea Dickert, as a certified neonatal intensive care, NICU, registered nurse who administered many vaccines in my 8 years of working at level 4, that's the highest level of care at a NICU, I can attest that I too felt so much shame and regret at the possibility that I may have caused more harm than good to so many of my patients, especially when I witnessed adverse reactions firsthand and some of them on preemie babies that we administered them to. So prematurely born babies. Another side note, many of the vaccines that are given to preemies are administered against manufacturing guidelines, as many of them do not meet the weight requirements for the dosage. But instead of offing myself, as your ER doctor friend stated, I decided to push back and do something about it. So I started a podcast with the goal of empowering
parents. That'll do it.
With the goal of empowering parents to make decisions for themselves and their children by using knowledge, insight, and intuition, not fear or social pressure. So if any of the No Agenda producers wants to hear the founder explain for herself what she has discovered, or if anyone wants to gain some more insight, people always ask me this, about what true informed consent is, they can listen to the podcast, the Fearless Motherhood podcast.
So, Fearless Motherhood?
Yes, the Fearless Motherhood podcast. So I wanted to plug that.
Okay, that sounds like a winner.
That's go podcasting. Finally then, and I don't understand why if Gorka is considered to be an advisor, how come former CDC Director Redfield is not an advisor? This is the guy who came out right away and said, no.
This is the bearded guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so here he is.
Do you think we should be worried at all, like if he gets confirmed, that he could sort of start a real no vaccine culture and put that into public policy?
Talking about RFKJ.
No, Brian, I don't think that. I mean, I'm probably one of the biggest advocates for vaccine. You mentioned that when I was CDC director, I would say that I think vaccines are the greatest gift for science to modern medicine, and I still believe that. Kennedy's not anti-vaccine. What Kennedy is about is transparency about vaccine, honest discussion about vaccines, asking for the data to show that these vaccines are safe and they're efficacious. And the mere question of asking, what's the data for safety? Many of his detractors say, okay, well, you're anti-vax. No, just show me the safety data. Show me the efficacy data. I have high confidence that Kennedy is going to be a strong supporter of transparency on vaccines, and where the vaccine data shows that they're efficacious and a benefit to the American public, he will promote them.
And then the real issue, which he says here.
I think, Brian, we need transformational change. Right now, we've created, over the last 20, 30 years, we've developed a disease system. We need to make a health system. And when Kennedy says he wants to help make America healthy again, when I was CDC director, one of the challenges was we lost about 1.2 million people died of COVID. Other countries like Taiwan lost less than 10,000 people. Why did we lose so many people? We lost so many people is
because our people are unhealthy.
We're a sick nation. And Kennedy is really committed to making us healthy again. And I do agree with you. We should all get behind him. Making a healthy America is not a partisan issue. We ought to get behind him make us healthy again.
No, the problem is it's a money issue. It's an advertising issue. It's a grift issue. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And it has a lot to do with the fact that prescription drugs are advertised on television, and they can, and they dominate the money flow. Yep. And yep. So they, the TV stations and whatever, and a lot of magazines, in fact, do what they're told.
I keep getting a lot of...
There's a problem with the corruption of advertising. That's why we don't take advertising in this show. And we suffer for it.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect.
I'm going to show myself.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect.
Just say...
I'm stepping on it every time now.
Just say, that's why we don't take advertising on this show. I'll fix it in post. No one will know.
That's why we don't take advertising on this show.
I'm going to show my support by donating to Noah James. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on Noah
Agenda. That's right. We don't take advertising on this show. We just do a service. We deliver a service. We perform a service for you, Noah Agenda Nation. We keep your amygdala in check. We make sure that you feel calm and that you're ready to face the world and your family during Thanksgiving. Go to your family. Give thanks. Love them. Hug them. It'll be okay. And we're going to thank our producers who came in $50 and above. And we have a tip of the day coming. We have great end of show mixes. Nice meetup reports, including one from El Salvador. John, take us through the 50s.
And I will mention that we do not fix stuff in post.
I think that people who are listening notice by now. Yes.
MK Ultra. What does this say? Marker? Marker? What? What?
I'm doing other things.
Oh,
what? No. What? Okay, I'll take a look.
Okay, it should be MK Ultra Mark in MK Brooklyn, Ultra Mark. New York. Yes, 10535.
Yes.
Somebody got an extra R in there. I won't say who or why. but there it was. Ian Field, $100. Allie Jade. Oh, good old Allie Jade. Oh,
Allie Jade. Yes, we read, her, note on the previous. That's for OperationChristmasCheer.com.
Yes, and she ended up on this spreadsheet.
Yes.
Brownie in Highland Ranch, Colorado, $100. Good old Brownie. I wonder where he went. David Keys in Riverside, California, $100. Jason Marrer in Vancouver, Washington, $100. One of the great towns in the world because you don't pay a state personal income tax, and you just drive a couple of blocks, and you're in Portland where you don't pay sales tax.
Oh, well,
it's a winner.
That? Yes.
Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, 8008. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of America and boobs, along with Jonathan Ferris in Liberal, Kansas, 8008. Abelson Dos Santos in Luanda, where is that? 7903. Angola, maybe. Appreciate the best podcast in the world. He says, yeah. Luanda, Angola.
Yeah.
Jingles.
How about that?
Trump, I'm going to come and due to climate change. Well, maybe we'll do that later. But we don't do that here.
No, not really.
Abelson.
No, not really.
But I love hearing from people from Luanda.
Yes.
John Robertson, Yucaipa, California, 75, I think. Matthew Elwart, I should know. Matthew Elwart in Weatherford, Texas, 6006. Graham Bucknell in French's Forest, Australia, 5723, which is Aussie boobs. That's 8008 in Aussie dollars. Huh?
Oh, Australian boobs. They look
Trinkage.
Good. They look good.
Rafael Figueroa in Miami, Florida, 5510. Then we have a long note from Sir Prize in Yukon, Oklahoma. 5444.
He's a 78th orbit around 78th orbit, huh? He wants a we can give him a biscuit for his birthday at least. Hold on a second. Don't have a biscuit here. The biscuit is in the oven.
Well, he's got I don't know what his note says.
Well, he has
they always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
But it's long. And I don't know what it
is. No, he's saying the value. He's saying you didn't invent the value for value model. It's been around forever.
Yeah, well, we just said that. We derived it. We derived it from both churches and public broadcasting. They've been doing it since since they began.
And nonprofits. They used
nonprofits,
time, talent, treasure. Yes,
of course.
Exactly.
We never took credit for invention. We invented it for podcasting.
Yes, for sure.
Sir Jub Jub in Elkton, Florida, 5272. Dean Dowsett in Milan,
Italy.
No, Illinois.
Oh.
5272. Lauren in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 5270. These are all $50 donations, but they put the extra money. It costs $2.72 to do that. Jennifer Williams in Davy Crockett National Forest in Texas. I didn't know that Davy Crockett had a forest in Texas, but I guess he did.
He deserves it.
5270. Yeah, well, he died at the Alamo. Sir Jackson in Levelland, Texas, 5272. With jobs, karma. We'll give you some of that at the end if Adam remembers. Baron Henry in Rancho Palos Verde, California, 5242. That's interesting. It'll be different. Matthew Olmsted in San Diego, California, 5005. This is a night note you can read.
Hi, John and Adam. You said you break for night, so I hope you read this on the show, of course. I don't know what else to try at this point. I got hit by a huge layoff earlier this year, and even with a Linda Lupatkin resume and getting my CISSP this year, after only 2 weeks study, I haven't gotten a single offer and can barely get interviews. I've been actively on the job searching over 8 months, and my wife's car got totaled last week on top of her job not paying enough to cover normal expenses. Oh, it sucks. Yeah. This is a plea for help, he says. I can't relocate because of my wife's job, so I either need a software engineering position in San Diego or something fully remote. I don't need jingles or karma. I need referrals or to talk to hiring managers. For any fellow producers who might be able to help, my CV is here. MattTheTall.site/CV. MattTheTall.site/CV. Help a brother out, everybody.
Give him a job.
Yeah, give him a job.
Give him something to do. Greg Mellon in Glenmore, Pennsylvania, 5047. Forrest Martin, 5005, and now we have the $50 donors, name and location, as they go down the list here. Michael Sikora in New Richmond, Wisconsin. Alexa Delgado in Aptos, California. And there we are in Redondo Beach, California, Gaucho Woodworking. They make cutting boards, among other things.
They do. Nice ones. Handsome
Brett
ones.
Denton in Boise, Idaho. Samuel Cannerday in North Riverside, Illinois. Melissa Alvarez in Ponte Verde Beach, Florida. Raleigh Hawk in Anna, Illinois. Stephen Crummy in El Cajon. Marga Bruner in Orangevale, California. And last on the, well, not quite last, Michael Statham is there with no town. I don't know what it is. I can't remember. And Sir Greg is last on the list, and he's in Newport, North Carolina. I want to thank these people for making the show 1715, the reality that it became.
And thank you to everyone who came in under $50, sustaining donations, always welcome, noagendadonations.com. And once again, to our executive and associate executive producers of episode 1715,
jobs,
here's the jobs.
Jobs, karma. Jobs, and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You
got karma. Once again, noagendadonations.com. Support the show. Zimbabwe wishes his beautiful wife, Viscountess Marianne Schneeberger, a happy birthday. She celebrates tomorrow. Brian Winning turns 41 tomorrow. The Reiki Princess says happy birthday to Sir Grumpy Green. He celebrated on the 14th. Of course, he got his associate executive producership today. Surprise is turning 78. And Dusan Maletic celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. And we have a doctor of education to welcome everybody. Please, Sir Bumpsy, come on over here. Thank you very much for doing all the work. You now have an official doctor of education in climate change sciences. Go to noagendarings.com and let us know where to send it, what name you want on it for your official doctor of education. There are still a few more available if you want to become a doctor in education, client science studies. Wow. Then we have actually a couple of knights. So we need a couple of sword, like a couple of knights. That'll do. Here we go. Dusan Maletic, Anonymous, Eric Levenberg, and Matthew Martell. Gentlemen, thanks for your support of the No Agenda Show, totaling the amount of $1,000. I am very proud to pronounce the as Sir Dusan, the Autocrat of Bartlett and Studentica, Sir Bumpsy of the Tickly Beard, Sir Discohead, and Sir Martell, Peddler of the Hardware. For you, we have Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Prostitutes and Cigars, Sarma with Amphora Aged, Tamayang Nika, mRNA Vaccine Free, Tomahawk Steak, and a Rodenbach Grand Cru. Hold the veggies. That's a beer, by the way. Along with that, we also have ginger ale and gerbils. We got breast milk and pablum. And, of course, we've got the mutton and meat all lined up for you. Thank you very much for supporting us. You also go to noagendarings.com, and you'll see the ring there. It's a signet ring, so we give you wax to use to imprint the signet. It's an ITM, and it has in the mouth and in the morning, in the mouth, in Latin on it. So that wax comes with, along with a certificate of authenticity. Send us your size and your address. Handy ring sizing guide on the site, noagendarings.com.
No Agenda Meetups.
There is no doubt No Agenda Meetups are the connection that give you the protection. Your No Agenda producers at the meetups, they're going to be your first responders in any kind of climate emergency or climate finance emergency, for that matter. And people love doing them. And I always encourage you to get your servers in on the deal. You can hit them in the mouth. I think some of the producers did that in these reports. We start with Snohomish, Washington.
In the morning, ladies and germs, my name is Horry. This is my first meetup. Apparently, it's a lot of first meetups for a lot of people, so we're excited to experience this. I'll pass the phone along to see who else wants to talk about it.
In the morning, this is Savannah. Happy to report this meetup was not AI generated.
Hooey hooey from Snohomish. This is my first meetup, and we got a great group of people here.
Oh, in the morning. How you guys doing?
Yo, having so much fun.
Hey, this is Zach. I'm here at the No Agenda meetup that Jorge set up. And the Garritos are douchebags.
Hi, this is Nehemiah in the morning.
Hi, I'm Daniel. This is my first No Agenda meetup, and I'm glad I came in the morning.
Woo! All right, take care, buddy. Later, fellas.
North Georgia, come on in.
In the morning, Gitmo Nation. Sir Bob here from the North Georgia Monthly Meetup. We had another good turnout. Everybody had a good time, and we tipped heavily. Let's see what everybody had to say.
Hello, it's Ro. See y'all next month.
Sir E here. Remember, connection is protection.
This is Sir R, and I must say, I really enjoyed the double tip.
Sean here. Gobble, gobble, y'all.
Hey, N.A., Dr. Sir, Mike Roch. Tip of the meetup. Look, call your parents. They want to hear from you. And tell your mom I said hey.
My name's Troy. I'm a server at Cherry Street, and Sir Bob just hit me in the mouth.
There you go.
This is Cody signing out. No Agenda rocks. The best barkeep at Cherry Street House. Yeah.
In the morning.
That's how you do it. Now we go to Bitcoin Beach in El Salvador.
In the morning, No Agenda Nation. This is Pablo here from French-speaking Scandinavia, coming to you live from El Zonte, El Salvador, aka Bitcoin Beach. It's block height 871,380. And they say all hell's gonna break loose. You're gonna need yourself a Bitcoin.
And this is Frederick, No Agenda Knight of the Order of Binary 42, here on location, orange pilling foreigners and selling Bitcoin art, stacking sats and trying to stay humble, becoming trilingual, trying to speak a third language. Back over to you, Pablo.
It's hot and sweaty, but it's like a party.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Then, of course, we have the big group there in Ocala, Florida. Here is their meetup for the month of November.
In the morning, John and Adam, this is Dame Meowdison here. We have a nice big group in Ocala. We did our Glass Bottom boat tour, saw some manatees, had a great hang, and just wanted to say thank you for your courage, love the show, and keep up the good work.
David from Dade City, in the morning, John and Adam. And Adam, we love you, even though we all know you're jealous of Elon Musk.
This is Paul visiting Silver Springs Bay Park. I survived the monkey poop war of 2024.
We saw plenty of animals on the Glass Bottom boats, but no Peanut and Fred, unfortunately.
Jackson in Ocala, where we're all waiting for the seasoning
of reveal.
This is 4-H Mama from Florida, where they've got the best muscadine wine.
Bringing back the whoopie cooking.
We're bringing back the whoopie.
Grumpy Green Guy in the morning.
In the morning. Canadian refugees.
Hey, John Adam. I am. Thank you for the clothes.
In the morning, fellas.
One, two,
Trump is coming for you.
In the morning, this is Leslie. Thank you for your courage.
This is the Reiki Princess. So excited we had an amazing time. If you haven't checked out the Silver Spring State Park in Ocala, definitely do it. And don't forget to join us at our next meetup, where we're going to be throwing axes and knives.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Ah, nothing like throwing axes and knives. That's how you do a No Agenda meetup. Thank you very much, Reiki Princess. Taking place today, we have the Indiana Tribal Count On U.S. meetup. That is underway at the Broad Ripple Tavern in Indianapolis, Mark and Maria. We should get a good report from them. On Tuesday, the Denver Pre-Giving Meetup, 6:30 Denver Demure Time, Lincoln's Roadhouse in Denver, Colorado. And on Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving meetup, 5 o'clock at Club Raven in Sacramento, California. Many more meetups to be found on the calendar. I suggest you go take a look. It is an experience you will always remember. You will want to do it more and more and more and more and more, just like eating potato chips. NoAgendaMeetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you won't be, triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Yeah, like a party. I have three ISOs. We like to choose the end of show ISO at this point in the program. Why we do it? I don't know. It's fun. It's another competition that John and I can have amongst each other. And here's my first one. It's too long, but here it is anyway.
Ew. That is not professional.
Okay. Nope. Second one.
This was fun.
Or?
I see a douchebag.
No, I think that has potential.
I like the middle one.
Yeah, you would. It was Capehart.
Here we go with my. I only have one. It's just one I grabbed. It's oh.
Oh. Compared to.
This was fun.
I would even do it. I would even do a double up.
Oh. This was fun.
How about that?
Oh, that's nice.
I think
okay.
We'll do that. All right, everybody, let's take it away for John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB.
And sometimes Adam. Here, I got a culinary tip. Ooh. Which I've been sitting on for a while.
Ooh.
And boy, that hurts.
Yeah.
And and this is a product that is used in Southeast Asian cooking, and I got into a discussion with JC about it. He claims that this is originally a condiment or flavoring ingredient that came from the Romans and then got to China, where then it was changed over time to the Southeast Asia, where they make it all over the place. It's called, and it's got a, I don't think the name's appropriate, but it's called fish sauce.
Fish sauce. All right.
Now you can find it at, you can get it on Amazon. There's a bunch of brands. There's more brands than you can imagine. I would recommend people start with Red Boat, which was a fairly new fish sauce maker, but he does it the right way. He gets fish sauce is made from black anchovies that have been fermented in salt for 1 year in a barrel.
Wow.
With French cooking, sometimes you use anchovies like they're used in Caesar salads, and they're always salt, and you scrape it off and you mix it into different sauces. This accomplishes the same thing. And a couple of things you should know. One, it doesn't taste like fish.
Good to know.
I would recommend getting Red Boat, which is a new company, fairly new company, developed by an Apple engineer who is Vietnamese. He couldn't find good fish sauce, because what the Asians do and what smart European cooks do is you use it as a salt substitute, in spaghetti sauces and soups and stews. You just
that was going to be my question: is what do you use it on? So, as a salt substitute in spaghettis and soups.
Yeah, it adds umami that you wouldn't get from salt, like a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an umami ingredient where you do, which is the you know the latest buzzword in the cooking circles is umami, which is mouthfeel, and it adds you umami. And a lot of salt. What you do is when you buy it, you get your bottle of Red Boat, which is a starter. There's all kinds of companies that make this, but this is the one that's extremely popular in this country because of the Apple connection. The guy knows how to market to Americans. Take a drop or two of it and put it in a spoon and taste it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's electrically salty and delicious, but it doesn't taste like fish. It's just some sort of it. And I'm sorry that they call it fish sauce, but that's basically it's.
It's bad.
Fermented anchovy juice.
It's bad marketing. Fish sauce.
Well, it's just it's what it's called. So you put a couple of shakes in your spaghetti sauce as a secret ingredient. It'll knock the thing up two notches in terms of deliciousness.
Exit strategy. Do you think you could make this fish sauce? Do you think you have the chops to make it?
I could make it, but I wouldn't do it cost effectively like they can in Cambodia, for example.
Yeah, but wait. That has nothing to do with it. You just need the right branding. For instance, I can see a 2-for-1 John C. Dvorak's seasoning of reveal. And as a bonus, you get Umami Magic. Now, that's a name for a fish sauce.
Umami Magic. That's
come
a
on.
Good name.
Come on.
Okay, well, then the way it should be done, as you think ahead of the game, private label some stuff out of Vietnam.
Just get some crap and put Umami Magic on it.
No, it's not crap. I'm telling you, this stuff, if people start using this in their everyday cooking...
Can we?
Now, I will say this.
This is something. This is an exit. This is a... Umami Magic is a winner.
Okay, I wrote it down.
Yeah, good.
So there's an area called Phu Quoc that is outside of the bottom of Vietnam, where she's got the best waters for these black anchovies. And so you look for that name, you're going to get some good quality stuff. But I should mention this. That's why the Red Boat's kind of interesting, because it's a small bottle. I had bought a bottle of fish sauce from another brand in a 750 or a liter. I've had it for 5 years. You can't use enough of it. I mean, it's just like a couple of shakes and you're done. And then you're done for the whatever next time you make spaghetti sauce or whatever sauce. It lasts forever.
Kids will love it. They will love it on their SpaghettiOs. Everybody wants the small batch.
Well, you put it in the sauce. Not, I suppose you could put it directly on the SpaghettiOs if you want salty SpaghettiOs.
I'm trying
but
to get
anyways, the fish sauce, Vietnamese, the other Southeast Asian countries make it too. And I would start with Red Boat and then try other ones after that.
Start with Red Boat and then move your way up to John C. Dvorak's Small Batch Umami Magic. There it is. Tip of the day. Tipoftheday.net.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam.
We'll be bringing that to market right after the microphone company kicks off. It's going to be awesome.
Vinegar book.
Vinegar book. Hey, everybody. Thank you very much. It was fun today. Enjoyed you trolls hanging out. Those of you listening on the podcast. Was this show valuable to you? Did you enjoy it? Consider sending some value back to us. NoAgendaDonations.com. Are you broke? Time, talent, treasure. We'll take anything from you. Just send the value back, whatever you got out of it. Coming up next on No Agenda Stream, which is available through trollroom.io. And of course, you might be listening in the modern podcast app. We have A Walk Through the Mind, Life with Its Ups and Downs. Billy Bones. All right, Billy Bones. Also, end of show mixes, L7 Square, David Kecta, and Jeffrey Crocker, who is doing some dynamite work. We'll be back on Thursday, Thanksgiving, and we'll be here for you with Umami Magic. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we had a stream from hell rainstorm that's now gone, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday, Thanksgiving. See you then. Adios, mofos, a hooey hooey and such.
Deeply worrying statement from Vladimir Putin. He's putting his strategic defense forces on a state of heightened readiness. It certainly sounds like nuclear saber rattling.
Putin is ordering the country's deterrence forces, which does include nuclear weapons, to be on high alert.
It is nuclear saber rattling.
Nuclear saber rattling.
Putin is crazy enough to try a tactical nuke.
Vladimir Putin is known for having a very heavy hand, increasing the nuclear deterrence readiness level.
Russia sets off a small, low-yield nuclear weapon just to shock everybody.
Nuclear coercion, this nuclear signaling is a critical component of it.
He's threatening to potentially lean into nuclear by saying he's raising his threat level.
Bit of a saber rattle here is ordered his Russian nuclear deterrent forces on alert.
It is nuclear saber rattling.
Nuclear saber rattling.
I just want to comment on the nuclear stuff.
Matt Gaetz has long denied all allegations, calling the claims, quote, invented, and saying in a statement to ABC News that this false smear following a three-year criminal investigation should be viewed with great skepticism. The DOJ investigation was closed with no charges being brought.
Her face. She is so steamed up that she has to do this because it's humiliating. It's basically humiliation that she's doing this.
This is the way the game is played.
As a career prosecutor and former Attorney General of Florida, I've fought corruption, and I know what it looks like, whether it's done by people wearing pinstripe suits or orange jumpsuits.
No warning. This piece includes the sound of gunfire.
Yeah. What you wanna do? What you wanna do? Yeah, don't quit. Yeah. Yeah, don't stop. Yeah. I'm letting my gas pop.
Not pop.
Yeah, don't stop.
Trying to get people by the pump. Trying to keep people from panicking in what is. And there,
there we go.
I have just heard that the first siren has just gone off. And I've been told by city officials that that indicates that this is a city under attack. And again, it's the first time we have heard sirens in the capital.
What you want to do? What you want to do?
That's fine.
Hold on for a second, because you've been hearing explosions now for a couple of hours. And we were asking about these sirens. You said they've been tested. Let's just listen. The sirens are now underway. I got reports of missiles, explosions. Let's listen for that.
If you don't quit, yeah. If you don't stop, yeah. I'm letting my gas pop.
Not pop.
All right, those are the sirens we have been listening for. Aaron, stand by for a second. I want to go to Richard. There we go. There's the sirens again. Aaron, we have been
wondering, Allie.
Go ahead.
Yes. So we had been wondering why we hadn't heard sirens. We all heard the explosions. We were wondering where the sirens were. I've been told by city officials that they had tested the system earlier in the week. They said it was working, and now hours into this attack, we are now hearing this siren system alerting people that this attack is underway.
It is a remarkable development. I want you to stay with us. I want you to stay with us. I want you to stay with us. Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Oh.
Oh, this was fun.